on and hit deep to right. Very deep to right. It's gone. Ahmed Rosario. It may be early, but it just got a little later for Luis Severino.
Runner going, 3-2 pitch. Driven in the air, right field pretty deep. To the track, at the wall, gone! Into the second row. Jose Bautista lifting the Mets to a 4-2 lead here in the top of the fourth inning.
Breaking ball hit deep to left field. Back goes Gardner. This one's on the way. Home run, Todd Frazier. The 1-2. In there, strike three call. There is strikeout number 10.
DeGrom, left leg kick. Here's the pitch.
Swung on and missed strike three. That's number 11. He got him with a hard slider away.
1-1. Tag deep in the air, right field, jumping back to the track. Walker looking, turning. It is gone! Brandon Nimmo to the third row. 2 degrees of separation. 1-1, strafed in the air by Conforto, deep to left. Jumping to the track, at the wall. This ball is gone! Michael Conforto follows up. The two lefties go yard here, and the Mets now coasting. It is 7-3.
Falling too fast to prepare for this. Tripping in the world could be dangerous. Everybody circling as vultures.
Negative. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. He says that. Well, come on, Bernie and Sid. Peter Strzok gets fired by the FBI. There's more on Trump and Omarosa. Bill de Blasio on Inside City Hall locally on New York One last night. All this stuff is going on. And did I just listen to 2 Jacob deGrom strikeouts and 5 Met home runs? And the answer is, yes, you did.
Let me tell you, that's the story. That is the story. The Mets are dominant in New York. On this Tuesday, August 14th of the summer of 2018. The New York, let's go Mets, baby.
For one night, that is the story, the makeup game. Mets and Yankees last night, you heard it. The Mets again with 5 home runs. Rosario, Bautista, Nemo, yeah. Conforto. Todd Frazier, his 3rd home run of the year against the Yankees for the Mets. And once again, Jacob deGrom, brilliant. Strikes out 12, goes almost 7. He now is a 500 pitcher. He's at 7-7 on the season with an amazing 1.81 ERA.
Which went up from 1.77 because of the 3 runs. But
right.
Still.
Still amazing. Still the best ERA in baseball.
That's
still
right.
The guy that you think is the odds-on favorite to win the Cy Young. Max Scherzer, who also pitched very well for the Nationals last night, has more wins because he's on a better baseball team. But on the flip side now for the Yanks, they found out yesterday after this loss. And by the way, Oakland won last night. They beat Seattle. So the Yankee lead over the A's is down to 3.5 for the wild card. And the Yankees are 10 back now of the Boston Red Sox. But they found out yesterday that C.C. Sabathia's right knee, which just had surgery last year, is an issue. Yeah, he's going to be out.
10 days.
So he's out, and Luis Severino continues to struggle awful against the Mets last night. So
something is wrong with Severino.
Yes.
What is it?
I don't know.
Is it time for a drug test?
Maybe.
Something is up.
You think it's a drug test?
And by the way, as bad as he was, how about A.J. Cole who followed him?
I know, terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
Terrible.
Gracious.
No, listen, the Yankees have some pitching issues, and, you know, the Red Sox win every night. They're now 50 games. I mean, the Yankees are 30 games over 500. They're 74-44.
I know.
That ain't bad, but the Red Sox are 50 games over 500.
Look,
50.
Davey beat Goliath last night.
And that was basically it. Yeah.
That was pretty refreshing for a long, struggling Met fan like myself and yourself.
Yeah, it was nice to see for one night.
But, yeah, the Yankees, though, being up whatever it is, 30 games over, 500 or whatever the hell you just said, they're still a wild card baseball team. They're not playing for the playoffs.
No.
At this point.
Well, they are.
They're a wild card team.
But they can't win that division. But
that's right.
You know, part of that again is that there's nothing wrong with being 30 games over 500. That's a pretty good season.
That's not bad, but still, it hurts that you have that kind of a record and you're not in first place.
Well, Boston never loses. 85-35.
Now, let me point this out, as a Mets fan, if I may. If that game was played at Citi Field, according to the measurements of the home runs, only 2 of those would have been home runs.
That's
only
right.
2.
That's right.
How could that possibly be?
Well, that right field wall at Yankee Stadium is very inviting.
It's like a city block closer to home plate than the home plate at Chase at Citi Field.
It is.
I mean, how can they not have uniform stadiums?
No, they don't. They don't. All the stadiums are different. There are certain ballparks, Cincinnati, for example, where there are home run ballparks. And there are certain ballparks where it's very difficult to go yard. much easier to hit the ball out in right field at Yankee Stadium than at any place at Citi Field.
Now, when will the Mets be mathematically eliminated from the wild card? How long into the future before that happens?
Well, they're 50-66 right now. They're 16 games under 500.
Because they have won
with about 45 games to play.
They've won three in a row.
Yeah.
So statistically, mathematically, it's possible.
No.
It's not mathematically possible?
No, it's not even mathematically possible at this point.
So they're mathematically eliminated?
They're done. Of course, they're done, yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, it was fun last night.
Well, I mean, no, if they win their next 50 in a row, and they end up, you know, going 98 or 94, I should say, and 96-66, then they got a shot.
Oh, well, now then they're not mathematically eliminated.
Well, no, they're not. No, they'd have to win like every single game.
All right. Well, keep hope alive. You got to believe, is what I'm saying. Look, it was just nice. They are on a 3-game winning streak, and it was just fun to watch. It was the exact opposite of what you would have expected in a game. And Sunday night, you mentioned Max Scherzer. Sunday night, ESPN Baseball. I had off Monday, as you know, so I had the luxury of just wallowing on my couch in the hot, because I have a TV room that faces the backyard, and I don't put the AC. The rest of my house is like an icebox, but I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game in my underwear. It was beautiful. Cold beer, and Max Scherzer is pitching for the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
Playing the Chicago Cubs. Cole Hamels was the pitch. It was a great pitcher's duel, fantastic. But this dude, Max Scherzer, who is competing with DeGrom, essentially, I think, for the Cy Young Award.
I mean, I would think right now he's probably the odds-on favorite to get it, despite DeGrom being much more dominant and pitching to a sub-2 ERA because he's got more wins. And, of course, you know anything about baseball, that means nothing. That's all about what kind of team you've got. But based on that, I think Scherzer right now probably has the edge over DeGrom.
Well, let me just say this Scherzer guy, this Max Scherzer, he's an absolute psycho.
Oh, yeah, he's nuts.
You ever watched him play?
Oh, yeah, he's nuts.
He's unbelievable.
But I like that.
He's so much fun to watch.
Very animated.
I was rooting for him like you can't believe.
Yeah.
When he throws the fastball, every time he releases it, as the ball's leaving his head, he doesn't just grunt like, it's not a
like a Monica Seles.
Yeah, not that. It's an out and out scream. It's It's fantastic, and he's scratching himself. He's walking around like his eyes are bugging out. It's fun. So anyway, he's up 3-0. He pitched to the eighth, goes to the ninth, and then the Cubs
they come back and win the game.
Two outs already. A walk-off, a pinch-hit grand slam.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic night. A-Rod, Jessica Mendoza, they were wonderful.
A-Rod actually came under a lot of fire that night because A-Rod is having a back-and-forth fight with Joe Maddon, the manager of the Chicago Cubs.
I did hear him talking about that.
Yeah, he said some things about the Cubs, and Joe Maddon wasn't very happy about it. And, in fact, by the way, called A-Rod out, called him plastic. Said he's basically manufactured, and supposedly
right.
Those two had a little bit of a talk before at some point during that Cub Nationals game, and people seem to think that maybe, just maybe, they put that thing to rest.
But he was sort of, he was inoffensive, and it was fun to watch. It was just a fun night.
It was a big
night.
Game. Right. You got Nationals trying to make the playoffs.
Yes, it was
you
huge.
Got the Cubs atop the NL Central.
And you got Max Scherzer and Cole Hamels, who was cool as ice, and he's a great pitcher.
And just got to the Cubs, of course, a couple
right.
of weeks ago from the Texas Rangers.
Didn't he know what time it is?
It is 6:16 a.m. to be exact.
So then I watched Monday night. The Mets-Yankees, the one-night mini-Subway series.
Look at you.
Last night, it was fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. And then I hear the play-by-play guy. And I'm like, that voice sounds familiar to me. What? It's Keith freaking Olbermann.
Yes.
I'm listening to Keith Olbermann
yes.
call a Mets-Yankees
yep.
baseball game. I'm like, what has happened to this? What's going on with this stupid ESPN? Who hired this guy for that?
Oh, he's been back for a while.
I know he's been back at ESPN, but
yeah.
to actually call a game?
He's actually a great, and I have a lot of difficulty saying nice things about Olbermann because I can't stand him as much as you. And him and I have actually had run-ins. Personal run-ins at Yankee Stadium.
I was his worst person in the world.
Right, that's right. We he's a great baseball guy.
Well, listen, first of all, it's tough to get past the fact that he's Keith Olbermann, and listening to him, My takeaway was it was mostly about himself when he was talking about it. They were showing old pictures of him, and everything was about him, but whatever. But it would be like putting an Alex Jones or a Glenn Beck from the other side.
What?
It would be like putting some nutcake, political person.
Well, we did do that once. Do I have to remind you about the Rush Limbaugh, Donovan McNabb dust-up on ESPN?
And how did that end up?
It ended up ugly.
That's right.
But they gave him a shot.
Well, they shouldn't have.
Even Dennis Miller was on Monday Night Football.
Keith Olbermann is like, he's like Kathy Griffin polarizing.
I know,
calling the game.
Yeah.
I was stunned.
You know what's funny about that is, again, I can't stand him too. And your description of him is right on the money, but I didn't even think about it. I'm at the point now where I've become so good at separating the two because I have to. Because, or else, like you're saying, I'm not going to enjoy a night where the Mets scored 8 runs for Jacob DeGrom and hit 5 home runs against the Yankees because I'm going to be so upset about Keith Olbermann, and I can't stand the guy. I become so good at separating the two. He was just another baseball announcer to me last night.
Well,
didn't care.
Kudos to you. It came as a shock to me. Of course, I got over it and I watched because it was the Mets and the Yankees, and the Mets were killing the Yankees.
It was great.
But, who was it? Skip Johnson? What the hell was it? John Skipper? Was he the guy who hired?
ESPN.
Guy. No. I don't think did Skipper bring him back. Wasn't Skipper gone already?
I think
maybe he was
it
still
may
there.
Have been right at the time that he was leaving.
You know what? He must have been on drugs right at that time. He said, "Sign the papers, Keith."
Probably so. We got a monster show coming your way today. Coming up at 7:40 this morning, his weekly appearance. Our good friend Bo Dietl, the big man, Bill O'Reilly, makes his return to the Bernie and Sid Show at 8:00.
Baby, no spin.
Anthony Cumia will be here, and the brilliant comedian. He'll be at Caroline's on Thursday night. Our good buddy Gilbert Gottfried will be here as well. More of Bernie and Sid on a Tuesday right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Juliet. Liev Schreiber is going to be in NIAC again, only this time he's not going to be on a TV set. He's going to be in a courtroom. The Ray Donovan star is charged with harassment after cops say he shoved a photographer's camera out of the way back in early June. It's a violation, not a crime, and that is going to be happening today. James Harden's alleged crime may be a little tougher to fight. TMZ is reporting a woman says the baller roughed her up after noticing that she was recording a fight in which he was involved on her cell phone. Listen.
James Harden about to fight somebody. I don't know what's going on.
Moments later, this.
Everybody's out here.
Oh, yeah. The group was partying at Mint Nightclub in Scottsdale over the weekend. The woman claims that Harden came over when he noticed that she was recording, grabbed her phone, and threw it on the roof of the place so that she couldn't sell the footage. She says he then came back to her and gave her some cash and then came back again and gave her even more cash. She went to the hospital where she was treated for a wrist injury. The investigation is ongoing. Ka-ching. And if you love the TV show Ballers like I do, so does Elizabeth Warren, the senator. She was recently asked why she's such a huge fan. And she blamed, as many do, a crush on a certain former WWE star turned actor.
The Rock. You know what's funny about that is I was on Jack Morris's boat on Thursday night with a friend of yours. She loves you.
Who?
Inez Rosales. So Inez, Tina Servacio, me and my beautiful wife Danielle are standing having a conversation as the boat is coming to pick us up. And I'm talking, gesticulating and talking to Inez. And she goes, you know, anybody ever tell you, you remind me
of the Rock.
Of the Rock on Ballers. I swear to God, in front of my wife.
The
and I'm
non-Samoan
like, I told
rock.
You I was the Jewish Rock. I'm the Jewish Rock, baby. Even Inez said it.
How many times have I said that here on this program?
I know, but coming from
it's
a female.
From a woman, it's a lot different. Yes.
But how about, I told you.
Well, every time I walk by you, I'm always like, I mean, you're a buff dude. Yeah. Seriously. How tall is he, by the way? He's got to be gigantic, right?
I don't think he's all that big. I think he's about 6'2", but
how
we can find out.
How tall are you?
I'm only 5'11". I've shrunk. Because I'm getting old.
don't I understand? Anyway, so TMZ was at LAX, and they caught up with co-star and scene stealer Rob Corddry. He says
The Rock is 6'4", by the way.
He's 6'4". Very nice. Thank you. He says that he thinks that Elizabeth Warren's love is really about how well the show handles storylines about athletes and their roller coaster relationships with money. She is, after all, an advisor on several economic panels. But there is some breaking news from this little TMZ interview with Rob Corddry. He also said he thinks she may be joining the cast.
You know, I have a feeling she's going to play my wife in season 5.
He's joking. I'm Juliette. That's entertainment.
Thanks, Jules. Oh, good song. Matt Meany back spinning the tunes here. Dirks Bentley going to be downstairs in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes.
Yes, Dirks he will. Bentley, I want to see that badly. Don't forget, we are giving away tickets to Billy. Oh, they're done already. We gave away the Billy Joel tickets.
Yeah.
That's done.
Bye-bye.
So, listen, we did some Mets and Yankees to start the program. There's lots more sports news, obviously. Jets getting ready for their second preseason game Thursday night against the Redskins. Looks like the rookie Sam Darnold will get the start. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Giants tuning up for their second preseason game Friday night in Detroit.
What about
against
Saquon,
the Lions?
Saquon's injury.
It's nothing. In fact, it's fine. I got a text from Russ Salzburg last night. I was standing right there. It's nothing. Trust me, he's fine. Tweaked, I guess, his hamstring, but I don't think there's any real issue with that one. But Carmelo Anthony goes to the Houston Rockets. Yeah. That's a sports story. But, you know, we will get to the Omarosa stuff only because yesterday while Bernie was out, he was on vacation, we spent a lot of time covering the Omarosa story. We did play the audio from Omarosa, from John Kelly, from President Trump, even when Omarosa broke out, new audio yesterday morning. So we do want to get Bernie's opinion on that story as well as Peter Strzok. But last night, before we get to that, Bernie, I was watching New York One. I'm back on it.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of lefty-leaning communists. It's fine. I'm still watching.
I mean, it's to be expected.
Right. And I specifically like, don't get mad at me. I know you're not going to like this.
I will never get mad at you.
Okay. I like Errol Lewis's show.
You son of a bitch. You mother. No, he is a very likable guy. And what happens with him, and he does a very good sort of fair show on New York One, but it's just like all these other people that, for example, Joe Scarborough, when they go on MSNBC, in his case, when he goes on CNN, he morphs into a more vicious,
yes,
hateful, biased guy.
That's, by the way, same thing even with my great buddy Chuck Todd. He's a lot different on Sunday mornings than he is on Friday mornings with Bernie and Sid, right? That's fair to say.
Yes.
So we've seen that. But the guy knows his stuff.
He's smart. Very smart.
And he knows New York. So
he lives in Brooklyn with his family. He's a real New Yorker. Do you watch Wise Guys? Do you watch Meet the Mayor when he interviews the mayor? You watch it all.
I watch it all. But I specifically enjoy Monday nights with de Blasio. By the way, both Brooklyn natives, Errol Lewis and Bill de Blasio.
And he'll hit de Blasio with the tough questions.
And he did hit him last night, whether he was talking about the lobbyists, the big story in the New York Post yesterday. And look, the thing with de Blasio was this, and we both can't stand him, we're on record with that. But I got to tell you, he is as smooth as it comes because he will take any question. He doesn't stammer. He doesn't stutter. He doesn't lose his train of thought. He's got an answer for everything. He can explain away the transparency with the lobbyists. He can. And by the way, he was the one part last night where I agree with Bill de Blasio was, I guess, since these cameras in the street stopped using the cameras to ticket drivers. Well,
yes.
Since they've done that, they found like 130,000 motorists that have been speeding in school zones. And de Blasio can't figure out, and I can't disagree with him, why would we not use that technology if, in fact, it means slowing down cars in school zones?
It has something to do with the state assembly.
Right.
It's out of de Blasio's hands.
He explained it.
Yeah. So there's some hitch up there. I don't know exactly what it is or why. It's like one particular guy who slowed it down because he got a bunch of tickets himself and it pissed him off. Yeah, I mean, Albany is a cesspool of petty corruption, and that's a manifestation of that. Now, there is a school of thought when it comes to red light cameras and when it comes to, red light cameras and speeding cameras, you can use speed bumps, and that would slow traffic down just as much, except it wouldn't get the city the revenue that they like to get from giving tickets out to a motorist.
Right.
And that's a valid argument. That's very valid because if your interest is really to protect the kids,
right,
put speed bumps up so nobody can go fast. And this way it doesn't, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who's on his way to work isn't paying, $1,000 in tickets every 2 months because some of these red light things, they really, you know, you go from 40 to like 15. I mean, you really have to crawl. You go up to 16, you're dead.
Yep.
But to get the speed bumps and maybe, I don't know. But so anyway, he's, no, who doesn't want to protect the school kids from getting hit by a car?
Well, of course. No.
But so the state assembly, we have to get somebody on to explain what the beef is there.
Well, we did have Mark Molinaro back on the show yesterday, Republican candidate for governor.
You like him, right?
Love that guy. Big giant fan and talks about the cesspool, like you just said, that is Andrew Cuomo and Albany. And he's got about as good a shot as winning as Cynthia Nixon. But we're going to put him on because we love the guy and we hate Andrew Cuomo. We'll take a short break. More of Bernie and Sid on a Tuesday right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
My wife, Danielle, makes a very good point. A lot of those cameras, too, just talking about Bill de Blasio on New York One last night, talking about the over 130,000 motorists caught on cameras speeding in school zones. It's a very good point. A lot of those cameras, by the way, are in very low-income areas, up and down like Flappish Avenue in Brooklyn,
where
those folks can't afford to pay for one speeding ticket, let alone five or six.
Yeah. So they're targeting minorities, poor
racist
people in urban areas.
It's racist.
That's what de Blasio was saying he wants. No, look, the answer is really, if you're not looking for revenue, and which they are looking for, speed bumps. That's the answer.
Yeah.
And you're good to go. And some of these red light...
speed bumps are very bad for your car, though.
The red light cameras that they have, what they do is they place the line of the red light, like in one case in Norwich, Long Island, they're placing it 30 feet before the intersection. So you cross that line before you realize, and the lights are blowing up like you have hand grenades being thrown at you, like it's, you know, it's like it's D-Day, for God's sakes. Lights going off here and there. And you don't even realize it. You pass the line, and there's nothing you can do. You're dead meat.
Dead meat.
So they're setting you up just to get revenue.
Yeah, well, that's why I take the subway, which is good when you live in Manhattan. You've got that.
I like to call it a modern day miracle.
It really is.
But it's 125 years old.
Yeah. So I get a text message this week from our good friend Dennis Hamill at the New York Daily News. I know you're friends with his brother Peter, right? For many years.
I was, and I don't know how he's doing these days, but he was a really good man, a good journalist, and a great author.
Yeah, great author. And Denny's a good writer, too, for the Daily News. Anyway, make a long story short, Dennis is very, very close with Teddy Atlas, the great boxing trainer, dear friend of the Bernie and Sid show, and a guy that was actually in my corner when Bernie took me apart on one cold morning in October at Chelsea Piers back in 2003. Teddy Atlas witnessed that, and to this day, when he's asked about training Sid Rosenberg, he says, and I quote, "Don't put that one on my resume."
Now listen, let's face it. You fought valiantly.
No, I didn't.
Albeit not sufficiently, but
no,
you
terrible.
Took it like a man.
No good.
You didn't throw in the towel when people are saying, stop.
Well, Lee Davis specifically, when he was worried that I was about to sue CBS for about $10 million, which I should have done, by the way.
Right, you had blood coming down your nose. It was brutal.
Brutal. And Teddy got a first front row seat. But on a serious note, Teddy's been a very, very good friend for years. I have gone to his charity dinner on Staten Island many, many times, including just this last year. Danielle and I went and had a great time. So every year at this event, and I really believe, Bernie, that of all the events, there's tons that local athletes and entertainers put on all year long in New York, I think Teddy still gets the most people, the most ball players, entertainers, New Yorkers. Nobody does it better than Thanksgiving week on Staten Island than Teddy Atlas. And every year at this event, he gives away the Jack Newfield Award. And this goes to folks in our business that Teddy deems do the most for the common people. You know what I'm saying? In other
sure.
words,
yeah.
Not out there trying to impress Bethany Frankel, do the most for the common people.
For the regular peeps. As Bill O'Reilly would call them, the folks.
That's right. And talking about Bill O'Reilly, he'll be here in about 70 minutes. But some very, very big New Yorkers and very respectful and great people have won this award, again, given out every year at Teddy's Dinner on Staten Island. And Dennis texted me a couple of days ago to tell me that this year, at that wonderful dinner where Teddy raises a ton of money for charity, kids with cancer, some really unbelievable stories, kind of like a make-a-wish type of thing. This year, the Jack Newfield Award at the Teddy Atlas Dinner will be awarded to Bernard McGuirk and Sid Rosenberg.
What? Spectacular.
That's right.
Wow.
Us? Yes, us.
Very nice.
That's very humbling.
It is.
That is very
huge. Anybody in this business, and I don't expect John on the carphone or Timmy on the carphone to appreciate and understand this, but anybody in our business, in media, in sports, they know about this award. It's a big, big deal here in New York. And you and I won it. So we've been awarded it by Teddy Atlas.
Yes, apparently they're very impressed with us. Are we worthy of this award?
No, of course not. Of course not.
That's my concern.
Got to give it to Sweeney Murdy.
Oh,
Sweeney Murdy.
Of course,
Sweeney.
I love his name. And he covers the Yanks.
Yep, very successful Indian-American.
Also put Mike Francesa
he
to
is.
Sleep.
He did do that. That wasn't his fault.
That's a very good joke, Meanie.
another real good joke. Yeah.
Thank you.
So you got to write a speech and everything, because I'm not going to say anything.
I got to write a speech?
Well, of course. I'm just going to wear a nice jacket.
Oh, now the pressure's on me.
And of course the pressure's on you. I'm going to wear a nice jacket, look handsome, smile, and you're going to say something.
Well, what am I going to say? I mean, we put some people on who are in need. We try to shine a spotlight on, say, wounded veterans.
We do that.
We had the blind Army veteran in here once.
That's right.
And we do stuff like
we
that.
We brought up Tara Hack from
That's
Penn
right.
Station.
She's down there playing the guitars, toiling for coins.
That's right. We've made countless homeless, degenerate, low-life, drug addict thugs, big radio stars
yes,
on
have.
Jill's Man on the Street routine.
What were those two guys' names that we brought up to the studio?
That was, Bundles.
That was wild.
Mr.
Yeah.
Bundles.
Mr.
Yeah.
Bundles.
Yeah, that's what we do.
That's what we do.
We pick people up by their own bootstraps.
That's what we
do. They don't have to. We do it.
That's right.
Well, thank you for that, Dennis Hamill and Teddy Atlas.
It's a big deal.
This is a huge deal. We're going to have to do a little more, though.
What do you mean?
I don't know. We're going to have to, like, go feed the homeless or something?
I don't know we're going to do that.
No, hey, we did that guy from Jersey. We got him to stop drinking.
Thank you, Matt.
One,
that's
right?
enough. You know what?
Andy from Vernon.
The hell with the homeless.
Yeah.
How about that?
We did enough.
That's huge.
Yeah.
We got to do.
That's enough.
You know, like these firemen, every once in a while, they actually start the fire. And they run into a burning building because they want to become heroes.
Backdraft.
So we have to, like, beat somebody half to death and leave them on the street and then go save them. Do, like, mouth to mouth or something.
Okay. Yes, yes. Yeah. And make sure we have somebody with a camera nearby.
Right, right. And then if he dies afterwards, he dies. But
well, look, it's the intent.
Right.
We had great intentions.
That's what we always have. And that's why Bernie and Sid are this year's recipients of the very coveted Jack Newfield Award.
Wow, this is very, as I said, humbling and very. I'm honored. I'm not. It's nice. Do I have to go?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Closing out the 6 o'clock hour with some Goo Goo Dolls here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Again, don't forget, monster guest list coming your way today. Bo Deedle, Bill O'Reilly, Anthony Cumia, and the hilarious Gilbert Gottfried live in studio. He'll be at Caroline's on Thursday night.
And it's all free.
All free. That's right. We're going to get to the Omarosa Trump deal and Peter Strzok coming up literally on the other side of Juliet's news. One story, though, that's worth mentioning. The owner of the Knicks and the Rangers.
Uh-huh.
We did some Mets and Yankees to start today's program. Jim Dolan.
The lovable Jim Dolan.
He may be the most hated guy in... I mean, I don't know. Bill de Blasio, people hate. They hate Andrew Cuomo. They hate Fred Wilpon. Jim Dolan may very well be at the very top of the list. So this dickhead has a band, and he writes a song about the Me Too movement. People really thought it was him kind of... upset because he never figured out that his buddy Harvey Weinstein was such a lowlife. He contends the song is not just about Harvey Weinstein, but it's about all of the folks involved that have done bad things to women. Yet, under his leadership, he had to pay Anuka Brown, who worked at Madison Square Garden, upwards of $12 million because of the way she was treated by Isaiah Thomas, Stephon Marbury, and a bunch of guys at the Garden.
Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to go there. because Isaiah is, you know,
he's my boy.
He's your boy. Right. But yes, you're exactly right. And I was going to stay away from it, but.
Well, listen, I don't know exactly what Isaiah did, if he did anything, but the fact is she got $12 million.
Yep.
And it's Dolan is ruling the roost there. Maggie Gray over at WFAN killed him a couple of days ago, called him white trash and a piece of garbage. One of the few good things she's done on that show.
Just a spoiled rich guy with way too much free time.
Yeah.
Your band and your social commentary. Shut up. Nobody cares. They really don't.
Well, they care in the Hamptons.
Yeah. Another reason for us not to care.
The Hamptons.
Please.
Omarosa and Trump, the battle continues right after Juliet.
Party rock!
Well, yeah. Trump and Omarosa continues. I think we all watched our good buddy Chuck Todd on Meet the Press on Sunday morning. He did an amazing job. It was a great interview.
It was. He did a good job. And we promoted it here Friday morning for him.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, we sort of had the scoop that
yes,
he was going to have Omarosa Sydney. Before you get into that real quick, today is August 14th.
Right.
It's an anniversary.
Okay.
Does anybody know what it is?
Give me a second. I'm not going to cheat, but I think I do.
Go ahead.
I got to think about this. Hold on. I saw
is
the
it
other
history
day.
Or sports?
It's history.
Here, I'll say what it is, and then I'll ask Jill what she thinks it means.
Okay.
It is the anniversary of VJ Day.
VJJ?
I know, right? That's what it sounds like. I knew she would go there. It's not VJJ Day. It's VJ Day. It's Victory Over Japan.
Yeah.
All right, so it was August 14th, 15th technically in Japan, the dateline and all that stuff. But it was the day that they had the big celebration in Times Square, the famous kiss with the sailor.
Right.
And the girl. And the reason why I bring it up, because it's only it's the 73rd. 75 will be big. But is that August 9th was the day that they dropped a bomb on Nagasaki, which precipitated. First, it was Hiroshima August 6th, and August 9th was Nagasaki. And I was here Friday, never mentioned it. But my friend, he piloted the plane that dropped the bomb. You'll appreciate this because, and I say this with affection, you're a big name dropper. You like that. And so I'm name dropping right now that the man who flew that plane, Boxcar, General Charles Sweeney, was a friend of mine.
Wow.
I knew him personally, hung out with him, got his book on with Imus, who put it on the New York Times bestseller list. He wrote me letters. We hung out together.
Very cool.
Very, very cool to know a man
who killed like millions of people.
That killed millions of people. That, right. that saved a lot more than he killed.
No, he did. He's a hero.
And that's the reason why he wrote the book. But
yeah.
I will show you this book that he wrote. It's called War's End.
Yeah.
And I will show you Sid Rosenberg, the inscription.
To my pal, Bernard, all the very best.
General Charles Sweeney.
That is cool.
And he was the man because he doesn't get the credit. The guy who dropped the bomb on Hiroshima, Tibbetts, gets all the credit.
Right.
He dropped the bomb that stopped the war, the second bomb.
Wow.
The first one didn't work.
You think that's better than my Tom Seaver rookie card?
Look, to me it is.
I don't know.
Maybe not to you.
But to me, he dropped the bomb. That's a big deal.
This is a huge deal. And
yeah.
I knew the man. He was a great man.
Oh, he passed away a couple of years ago.
Right? Yes, he did. He was a very happy man, and he wrote the book to set the record straight.
How about that?
There you go. So anyway, happy. God bless you, General Charles Sweeney, and thank you for what you did. And happy VJ Day to all you New Yorkers.
Are they celebrating that in Japan today?
Well, they call it the. They have a strange name for it. The end of the
World
Imperial Army Day or something like that.
Yeah.
It's odd. It was a long time.
Yeah.
Japan sort of denied. They like to forget. They for a long time.
Listen. They're fine. I could tell you this. Every piece of electronics in my house comes from them. So they did
And the reason why.
I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be. I'm not joking.
No, but the reason why was because of American benevolence.
That's right.
It was not vengeance after war. It was let's rebuild.
But benevolence. We killed like 10 million of their people.
No,
then we were nice to them.
We finished what they started.
No, I know.
And then afterwards, instead of saying screw you and leaving the place in ruins.
We helped them.
We rebuilt the damn place.
So,
just like we did in Europe with the Marshall Plan.
In fact, we took it a little too far. being the cars and electronics and TVs.
Well, that's how we do.
I know.
That's the kind of people we are.
I know. Well, happy VJ Day. Not the VJ that Jill is.
VJ
Today is not Happy Vagina Day, although that is a great day, isn't it?
That should be a national holiday.
Come on,
holiday.
Let's get that going.
Every day is
happy
Vagina Day.
Vagina Day.
Vagina Day.
You know what I'm saying?
No. So, Omarosa's on with Chuck Todd. Let me tell you, yesterday you were off, and we spent a lot of time on this story, Bernie. Let me give you what I said yesterday.
Sure.
And then we're all waiting for, of course, what you think. No, I'm being serious. So I'm watching this interview, and it takes me 5 minutes to tweet. This lady is obviously humiliated, angry, bitter, and it's becoming very obvious that, Donald Trump embarrassed her. She thought that would never happen, and that's what this conversation and this book is about. Then I watched the whole thing. I always talk about, even in recovery, you got to watch the, you have to rewind the whole tape. First 5 minutes is fun, but when you rewind the whole tape, the last 5 minutes puts you in rehab. So when I watched the whole deal with Chuck Todd, by the end of it, I was exhausted, by the way. I don't know who to believe. I believe some of the things that she said. I do believe she is humiliated. I do believe she is bitter. But I also believe that Trump did some of the things that she talked about. So all I said at the very end was, which was really very cowardice, I know, I'm not sure who to believe. You, on the other hand, you watched this, and you thought what?
But the question is to believe about what?
Is she telling the truth?
She's saying a bunch of different things. Like, one of them, I will point out, first of all, I say this. You got to hand it to her for successfully milking her association with the president. She's milking it fine, and she played the president, and she also played, right now, as we speak, she's playing the media like a fiddle. She's saying everything they want to hear. Mm-hmm. Regardless of whether or not it's true, she's saying that I'll talk to the special counsel. I heard a tape that had a slur on it, and Trump is mentally ill. Everything that they've said already, she's sort of confirming for them, whether or not it's true.
Right.
So she's saying everything they want to hear, and she's getting all the attention she could possibly desire. So she's playing them just like you might allege that she played the president.
Right.
So just say that out of the box. But now, as to the question of whether or not the veracity of her claims, I mean, none of the stuff in the book was fact-checked. Nothing.
Right.
She has cited several things, among them conversations with Frank Luntz, with Katrina Pearson.
Yep.
And the book writers, the guy who wrote the book, never checked with them. They flat-out say this stuff, the conversations never happened. But the most important one, I would imagine, was that this former apprentice contestant named Troy McClain, she says that he played a tape for her,
yep,
in which he called Kwame Jackson, who was also a black contestant on The Apprentice, that he called him the N-word.
Right.
And that's what she says. Now, that's the most damning. Mark Burnett has said there are no tapes. But this guy, Troy McClain, the Huffington Post of all people, the Huffington Post got in touch with this guy. And his quote to them was, "You got to be BSing me. Is this a joke?" That's what her source says. That's allegedly played the tape. He says, "You got to be lying. This is a joke."
Well, right off the bat, when Chuck Todd first asked her if she had heard the actual tape, the N-word, she really gave a very bizarre, odd, kind of confusing answer. And then eventually, as the discussion continued, she admitted that after the book was done, that, yes, she did hear the tapes. She was in Los Angeles. The tapes exist. She did hear the tapes. But when Chuck initially asked her about that, she did not come out, at least in that conversation, with a robust yes. She didn't. It was weird.
So what does that tell you? I think, look, she's doing what's best for her. She's been a scheming. Her whole role is as villain. She's a villain. She's a scheming B word. That's her thing. That's what she does. So she got fired. She said some glowing things about Trump for 3 years.
But you really believe, we played the tape yesterday, we'll play it again if you want, when Kelly fires her, and then she talks to Donald Trump afterwards, and Trump is like, "What? What do you mean you got fired? No, this is no." You really don't think Donald Trump is lying there, that he really had no idea? Because Kelly kept telling him what a loser she was.
I never alleged that.
Oh, okay.
No, he may have known.
Yeah.
And he wanted, he didn't want to be personally involved.
But why not?
Well, I mean, why?
Well, why not?
Why? Well, because you delegate stuff like that. Look, if we were going to fire Meany,
right?
I'd say, Craig, can you take care of it and leave us out of it? Would you please? Because we don't want Meany to hate our guts.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He may not have known, but it's very possible he didn't. If he did, I don't care.
But if Meany ends up calling one of us out and says, I know Craig fired me, but the truth is that son of a bitch, McGurk, he was the one.
Like you and Norm Laden.
Exactly right. Same thing. Exactly right. Thank you. At some point, you're going to come out and you're going to say something. No, you're not going to say, no. Or you're going to lie about it and say, no, I had nothing like you did with Norm Laden. I had nothing to do. I didn't know about it. There was no prior conversation. None of that stuff. What are you going to do?
I think that's irrelevant, really, to the whole conversation, whether or not
But if she's calling Trump disloyal and a liar, forget about the racist stuff.
No, wait.
How is that irrelevant?
In the tape with General Kelly,
yeah,
he claims that she was doing some stuff that we don't even know what he's talking about.
Well, that's part of the problem. We know about baseball
but
tickets.
She didn't refute him when he was saying we heard some bad things.
Yes, she did. She actually said that, not him, because he was obviously very intimidating, but she said to Chuck Todd on Sunday, you can bring out my HR records right now.
No, I mean during the conversation.
Well, yeah, because Kelly was probably, he's probably scared stiff of the guy.
Omarosa's not afraid of anybody.
Oh, yeah. John Kelly, she's getting fired. She's in the Situation Room, and he's going, there's no room for negotiation. That's a bit intimidating.
Yeah, but if he says, because of your record, some of the horrible things you've done here, if it was me, I'd say, like what, General? If there were no horrible things, I'd say, like what, General? Like, what do you mean horrible things? What did I didn't do it.
No.
But she didn't in that tape. I don't know either. Well, I don't know. I don't care.
Why wouldn't the White House say some of the horrible things that she did in an effort to make this thing go away?
Maybe they will.
Okay.
I don't know.
What time? Because I got to go to work.
This all broke over the weekend. Oh, I mean, totally. It's really a low-level situation.
Right.
I mean, the president passed a $716 billion military spending bill yesterday. That's going to affect all of us in one way, shape, or form.
No.
I mean, it really is big.
No, nobody cares.
And we're talking about Omarosa.
That's right. It's about a story.
All I'm saying is it's a low-level thing. So whether or not they release that stuff, all I'm saying is she's playing everybody, and she none of which has been substantiated, none of the claims.
Well, I got to tell you this. She says in the book, too, that there was a very noticeable mental and physical decline.
Yes.
And she attributes something to that. We're going to tell you what that is. It's unbelievable. She attributes something. Mike Francesa, you're in trouble. We'll come back and tell you right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news.
I'm Juliet. Quick reality roundup, starting with some explosive news. First, we're going to talk about Real Housewives of New York's controversial mean girl, Bethany Frankel. She was clearly in emotional agony at the funeral of her on-again, off-again boyfriend.
Stop.
Well, I mean, she was. Well, I mean, whether or not you hate him or hate her,
Yeah,
I mean, I'm no fan,
crying.
But yeah, I mean, you know.
But of course,
she
killed him. So.
Oh God, stop it!
She didn't tell him that she was going to stop seeing him. The poor bastard, God rest his soul, had to watch that Wednesday night on television, and he's dead 36 hours.
But
later.
That was a long time ago. Remember, they shot that a while ago. So, well, this is the interesting part. So anyway, she was photographed in a black dress with a white collar, holding onto a friend and crying. And Shields, by the way, was found dead in his Trump Tower apartment on Friday. The NYPD is investigating the death as an overdose, but in a surprising turn, People magazine is reporting that Frankel and Shields were actually engaged. They had gotten engaged back in April.
Yeah.
He proposed to her. She had a ring, but she wasn't wearing it because they were trying to get over some, you know, complications, which, I mean, from which side, you know, I guess you could look at it and think.
She said she was going to give it a 90-day respite. She was not going to see him, talk to him, and have any contact for 90 days.
Could never marry him.
Right, and I could never marry him.
And maybe that's why. Maybe he had, you know, he was struggling,
but
obviously,
still,
was
still,
some sort that, of...
That's no reason to kill yourself.
No. He was a drug addict.
He purposely did it.
He had his issues and all that. So you can't blame her necessarily, but I'm going to. Bethany Frankel killed this guy.
Stop it, you guys.
I got to tell you.
Stop.
The prospect of marrying her would make me
want to
OD.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Not die.
Let's give her a 24-hour respite.
I want to drag her away from the funeral and handcuffs.
Well, I'm going to give you this one then. You can beat up on this one because it sounds like she kind of deserves it. Your favorite, Luanda Lesseps, the former countess.
Who, by the way, canceled her appearance on the Bernie and Sid show two weeks ago.
Which I still don't understand, though. Why would she not want you to promote it?
Because she saw me tag her name on Twitter.
So what, though? Like, why would she have a problem with that?
It was 2 days before when you and I were discussing during your entertainment report her.
Yeah, yeah.
When I talked about her stealing money from her kids.
Yeah.
And how she's an unsympathetic figure and a lowlife. That was Friday. 2 days later, Sunday night, she canceled the appearance.
Babe, when did you guys book her in the first place, though?
That Friday.
That's right.
We actually have
a voicemail of Luann de Lesseps canceling her appearance on our show. She's like this.
Hello, Jill. I'm going to cancel my appearance with Benny and Sam.
Benny and Sam.
I can't do it. Bye.
All right. Well, she's actually heading to NBC's Megyn Kelly today to talk about her issues. She was arrested last Christmas in Palm Beach after getting into a tussle with police for being publicly intoxicated. She had just exited her short-lived marriage to a creepy guy who was cheating on her the whole time. Admittedly, she was spiraling out of control. She went to rehab not once but twice after recently suffering a relapse. But people are actually reporting. Sources are saying that she may have blown through millions of dollars that was supposed to be a trust for her adult children, Victoria and Noel, like millions of dollars. It's not that she just was kind of like squiring the money away. It's like it's all gone. So on that happy note, I'm Juliet. What would you do if your mother like blew all your money? I mean, the father still has money, doesn't he?
What would I do? Ask the Menendez brothers.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
I'm Juliet. That's entertainment.
One of the guys you did that night that you broke into out of nowhere that floored me and Danielle, because my wife Danielle loved you too, it was Nicolas Cage. And him too, the way you presented your body and your face was sick.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Sid. And you noticed that. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. I like, you know, and sometimes I'll mix it up. Hi, Jill. How are you? I like to mix it up. You know, if I'm on a date, I'll meet the girl at the front door like Nicolas Cage, and I'll say, "You are so sexy." You.
That's funny. That's Rob McNaughty as Nicolas Cage. That is uncannily good. And listen, you want to see Rob McNaughty? He's got plenty of that. This guy is hilarious. He does imitations like nobody else. And 77 WABC and Peerless Boilers presents A Night of Comedy, hosted by Bernie and Sid. Join us for A Night of Comedy Wednesday, September 26th at the Cutting Room, 44 East 32nd Street, for a hilarious night of entertainment starring Jim Brewer, Jackie the Joke Man Martling, Jim Florentine, and the aforementioned Rob McNaughty, all hosted by us, Bernie and Sid. Tickets on sale now. They're going fast, folks. They really are. And we're going to add names to this lineup. Believe me when I tell you. This is early in the process. We have names in our back pocket, so don't miss out on this great night to spend with your favorite morning show host and a night full of laughs. Brought to you by Peerless Boilers, America's best-built boilers. Go to peerlessboilers.com. And, Joe, what are you going to do there that night? What is your plan?
I'm going to attempt to ride the Sibian.
Okay, there you go,
really?
Folks.
Yeah. Oh, this is exciting. Yeah.
Very exciting.
There's going to be a lot of entertainment, comedians and
music, too.
General entertainment,
yeah,
yes.
Good food and drinks and all that
lining
stuff.
Lining it all up. Cutting Room, East 32nd Street, September 26th. Go to WABCRadio.com, get some tickets.
All right, now Bo Dietl coming up in about 10 minutes. Bill O'Reilly, Anthony Cumia, and Gilbert Gottfried, one of the guys that may end up coming that night.
Yep.
He's live in studio. He's at Caroline's on Thursday night. So last we left off, before Juliet's report, we're talking about Omarosa and Trump. And I said that she attributes in her book, she's got one thing that she says is the reason why there's been a very obvious mental and physical decline for President Trump. It's in today's New York Daily News. It comes from the book. And here's what Omarosa says. I'll read it. It's a one paragraph, Bernie. Yeah. It says, the world has yet to learn about the, you ready for this? The extent of Donald Trump's Diet Coke habit.
I think we did already know that.
He always had one in his hand as far back as I've known him. He's up to 8 cans a day, at least 8 cans a day for the last 15 years. That's 44,000 cans of Diet Coke poured into his system. In the White House, he just pushed a button in a wooden box on his desk. He can summon anything with that button. Whenever I wanted to brief him, he pushed the button and got us both Diet Cokes. She also talks about him tanning every single day. He's got a tanning bed there. And the fact that he carries two guns, believe it or not, the president, a 45 caliber Heckler and Cole, a cock, I should say.
What?
And, yes, that's right. Ooh. And a 38 Smith & Wesson. But she says that all these issues and the reason why Donald Trump has completely gone batty physically and mentally is because of his addiction to Diet Coke.
You got to be kidding me.
Well,
that's another guy.
That's I mean, that's all speculative on her part with the Diet Coke, of course. Look, it's not good for you. I don't know if it makes you mentally insane or any of that stuff.
Well,
I've never heard that before. But
I know two guys that are addicted to Diet Coke, Mike Francesa and Donald Trump. What do you think?
I think the guy's doing a great job. That's what I think. Both of them, as a matter of fact, he's getting killer ratings.
He is. Mike's doing great.
And the president's getting good results with the country. But, by the way, didn't Diet Coke, wasn't that what killed Patrick Swayze with pancreatic cancer? Wasn't it Diet Coke?
Well, I know that was kind of the urban legend.
Well, here's the question that you asked last segment. Why did Trump hire Omarosa, this nut, in the first place? You hear everybody saying that. The answer to that question was that she was a vocal black supporter, an African American.
Well, of course.
That was the reason why he hired her.
He used her.
Yeah, he used her like she used him.
Correct.
And she was saying very nice things. She was a presentable, a very attractive spokesperson on TV for him. So he thought he'd give her a job. And it was came at a time when the media and everybody else was portraying Trump as racist. So that's
right.
why there's an explanation for why he hired a loose cannon like her, and that's it.
That is a good explanation. We got to run here. Bo Dito's about to join us. Want to send a quick shout out to my dear friend Joe Carini. You know, we had Tiki Barber on the show yesterday, Bernie, talking Jets and Giants as both teams get ready for the second preseason game. And Tiki was always one of the best bodies in football. To this day, by the way, he's more than a decade removed from playing on Sundays. He's in phenomenal shape. And the guy that works him out is a guy named Joe Carini in New Jersey. When I lived in Tenafly, I used to work out with Joe Carini every single day. While I just today got back talking to Joe Carini, and he, for the first time today, right now, has the Bernie and Sid Show on live in his gym in New Jersey. Everybody's working out, listening to the Bernie and Sid Show. So a big hello to Joe Carini.
What up, Joe?
Yeah! Work those biceps!
Work those glutes, baby.
We'll talk to Bo Dietl right after
these words. If it ain't tight, it ain't right.
Blacks for Trump. They say blacks for Trump.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Well, you mentioned earlier, happy anniversary to VJ Day.
That's right, 73 right. years, baby.
Well, Joe Salamina reminds me that 15 years ago today, another anniversary, 15 years ago today in about 8 hours at about 4 o'clock this afternoon, 2003, the lights went out in New York City.
Is that
City.
When you stopped drinking?
That
was, wow.
Yeah, that was that blackout, not the bad one in 1977.
No. It was bad enough, though.
Yeah, 2003.
Wow, that's how many years?
15.
Doesn't seem like it. Wow. I can't believe it's 15. Yeah.
15 years.
It was a great night.
It was.
Yeah. Well,
I don't remember. I know there was a lot of looting in 77. Was there a lot of issues?
77 was really bad.
Right.
Looting all over the city. The other one wasn't that bad.
Wasn't that bad, right?
No.
I remember the one in the 60s as a kid. You remember that one, Bo?
68.
You remember that?
Yeah. Well, I remember as a kid all the lights. No, not 68.
It was earlier.
It was earlier.
Yeah.
Because I remember we didn't have air conditioners then. It was hot.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't have them in the project, period.
So what's going on, man?
How are you?
Big Bo in the house. Bo Dietl, the actor / hero cop. I'm not a hero.
Yes, funny, you are. Bo walks in on a Tuesday, and he's, during the break, it's about a five-minute break, and he will discuss everything that he's heard about for the first 80 minutes before he comes on.
That's right.
Omarosa, Bethany Frankel,
He leaves it all in the locker room, as they say.
No, I'm not leaving anything in the locker room.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Bethany Frankel and Dennis Shields. I knew him. The guy, I was going to do a business deal with twice. I met him in a hotel room. He was whacked out those two times. Right. People don't understand. They got some stuff out there. I talked to a couple of detectives the other day. A young man that I knew overdosed again, 31 years old. My problem here is they crush up the OxyContin. They snort it. Now they want to jack it up. They're putting fentanyl in there. Now they got something new that kills you on track. People don't realize. Don't be an ass. Can I say ass?
You can say ass.
Don't be an ass. Do not do drugs. It will kill you.
In this case,
because you don't know what you're ingesting right now. And here's the whole deal. When you do one of those opioids, what happens is you go to sleep, you mellow out. But what it does, it shuts down your internal organs. You don't wake up, okay?
You don't wake up. And even if you have this Narcan, which people think is an insurance policy.
Did you hear what he said? Go get the Narcan. A little late, Dennis.
But people have been counting on Narcan, they think. And it works in some cases. Yeah. It's going to save them, but not in all cases.
No. It's very simple. First of all, Dennis, God rest his soul, 51 years old. You're not a child. Right. Man up,
come
man.
Come on, man.
I don't feel sorry for people that are druggies right now. Here, all the evidence out there, we'll have 10,000 overdoses in New York City. You know what? It's not a black-white issue. It's everybody's out there not realizing how bad it is.
Whatever happened to a couple of Coors Light on a
you know
Friday night?
I think I'm going to stop drinking,
I got to snort some
I think
oxy.
I'm going to stop drinking like Sid. You know what? I don't wake up. Even Margo said to him the other day, "When I have a couple cocktails at night, I'm tired of it. I'm gonna stop drinking.
It's terrible.
I think I'm gonna go to the tanning machine with you and start working.
What do you mean? Yeah. Donald Trump's got tanning beds.
You know what's gonna happen with you, Sid?
What's that?
You look beautiful. Your body's beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful tan.
But
you're gonna get hit with a friggin' meteorite. That's what's gonna happen.
That's funny. You're probably right.
So now,
let me ask you this. But you mentioned Shields. Here's Frankel. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I follow her career very closely.
Skank.
I know. I do watch the New York Housewives.
Yeah, you're a skank.
I agree with you. Yep, I can't stand
right.
her.
He said it.
But the point is, she's made a ton of money with her skinny brand. She is, for some reason, beloved and revered by tons of women in New York City. You've met her a bunch of times.
She was nasty with me the last few times.
Right.
What
is redeeming about her? What?
No, she's an SS, a skinny skank. That's what she is.
Just a motor mouth.
Let's not waste any time on it. Let's talk about, real fast, let's talk about the mayor. If the Roosters are coming home to roost. Look at this punk they got. ACS, he's supposed to be protecting children. Convicted murderer. I talked about this when I ran for mayor. Now he's got 150 meetings with lobbyists. It's ching ching. He should have a register. Remember those little visors you used to wear? You should have one of that. Now it's play for play. He has no one to answer. This man won't get elected to dog collector after this mayor race.
It's worse than
Tammany
Hall.
He's a zero.
He's really a
punk, and I tell him to his face, he's a punk. He's a corrupt punk.
You know, it's funny mentioned the thing with the lobbyists, because I did watch him. I mentioned this to Bernard earlier this morning with Errol Lewis last night. Not only does he admit that he did meet with all those lobbyists, but he's giving himself credit in saying that at least I'm transparent. I'm not denying any of that stuff.
But Errol Lewis, I had my dealings with him. He carries his bags.
Right.
He screwed you in the debates.
I know that.
He could chop it up. You don't want to know something? Even when the Post reporter, I love the New York Post. The Post reporter tried to interview. How dare them? He had press credentials.
They threw him out.
How dare them? The cops grab him, throw him out.
Kevin.
Well, what happened to freedom? He's got this big mouth open about Trump not talking to the press. Well, why don't you step up there, de Blasio? As far as I'm concerned, this guy can't get out of the office fast enough.
Cop-hating scum.
Talking about scum, you know, not for nothing, this Amorosa gets me sick. All the news media I watch Sunday morning, she's everywhere all over the place. The last one was that criminal lawyer there. He's a criminal lawyer. He owes $10 million.
Avenatti.
He ripped off corporations.
Yeah, right.
He wants to be president of the United States.
Funny.
This punk is the pimp for that pig. What's her name? Stormy Daniels.
Stormy, right.
I wouldn't hit with your ding-dong. She's a pig.
What do you point at me for? How about pointing at Bernie?
Let's be real about the news media. You know, look, I'm not going to get political here, but let's get real about it. Put this pig on. Put the other pig on. Put that punk lawyer on it. These are like, there's nothing else that we can report. How about reporting about the great economy?
Right, it's all soap opera.
How about reporting about how good America is and strong?
The military spending, the bill yesterday that I mentioned earlier, and the economy. No, it's all soap opera with this president. That's what it is.
You know what? And our friend Sean Hannity, he's the best.
Hey, Geraldo mentioned you on his Hannity show last night that you guys went to dinner. You, Hannity, and Geraldo.
Yeah, we had Forrest.
And Hannity's like... He's an advisor to the president, basically,
Let
right?
me tell you, he's like more than an advisor. Hannity and the president are very close. And I'm going to tell you something. Hannity's one of the most loyal, smartest people
I've ever
met. He's a great husband, a great father. You know, I know him for a lot of years.
Solid
as a rock. His two kids are like world-class tennis players.
Mm-hmm.
That just shows you his involvement. He flew all over the place to be at the kids' tournaments. That is the epitome of the best father in America is Sean Hannity. I'm... you can laugh all you want.
No, the best line. I'm thinking of your line. The best line is to Sid. I wouldn't hit him with your ding dong.
Well, years ago, I could see Sid could have been sniffing around Beth.
Listen, Bo, we're out of time.
Years ago.
We're out of time.
What do you mean, we're out of time.
Well, we love you.
I just got here.
We love you. We
what
do.
Am I brought to you by?
You're brought to us by.
How about the casino? Hard Rock Casino in Lang City.
How about that? The Hard Rock Casino, no doubt about it.
You're actually brought to us today by Cars for Kids.
That's right.
Obnoxious kids.
But what am I going back there?
Put them in a cave in Thailand, right?
Now,
Bob?
Listen to me.
I'm going back there, by the way, in September for Christina Aguilera.
That commercial kills me, that Cars for Kids. Yeah. Please change the commercial, please. Those kids got to be about 42 years old.
Hey, Bo, all the best. We love you, man.
Nicely
Hard Rock,
done,
Cars
Bo.
For Kids.
Love you guys. And remember, this weekend, get to the Hard Rock Casino Hotel in Atlantic City. See Jack, Joe, and see the boys.
On the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Devices in your bathroom, in your kitchen, in your brain. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Enable and open. 77 WABC.
Come on, Hall of Famer Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits. Your money for nothing and your chicks for free. Every time Bo Dietl is on, my good buddy in Philadelphia, the sports talk show host Harry Mays likes to text me and tell me how great Bo Dietl is. By the way, Eagles are having all kinds of difficulty at quarterback. You know, Carson Wentz is still not really healthy yet. Now their backup, the kid that won the Super Bowl last year, Nick Foles, he's a bit dinged up.
Really? Oh, is he really?
Yeah. So they actually went out this week and signed a guy that last year at this time was getting the majority of the snaps for the Jets. In preseason.
Mark Sanchez?
Right. No. Christian Hackenberg, who the Jets took out of Penn State a couple of years ago, is now on the Philadelphia Eagles. By the way, coming up next is Bill O'Reilly.
Bill
just tweeted. He'll be coming on with Bernie and Sid to his 3 million plus Twitter followers.
Very excited about Mr. O'Reilly's appearance. If you miss him, folks, and you're not on BillO'Reilly.com, shame on you. You should be. Buddy's going to be here.
And then Anthony Cumia live in studio this hour as well. And the brilliant comedian Gilbert Gottfried live in studio next hour. All that and more right after Juliet with the news.
If you have any other recordings.
Oh, I have plenty.
Anything Mueller would like to see? Robert Mueller?
If his office calls again,
would you be a good witness in this investigation by Mueller?
Absolutely. Anything that they want, I will certainly.
You think Trump should be impeached?
At this point, yes. Place to spend the night.
Heavy rain falling. Seems I hear your voice calling. It's all right.
Back on the Bernie and Sid Show, if you're a long-time listener, or even a short-term listener, I would imagine you remember...
A rainy night in Georgia.
This is one of Bill O'Reilly's all-time favorite songs. And, by the way,
I
hate to step all over you, my brother.
It seems like it's...
But the award-winning journalist Bill O'Reilly, one of the best cable news hosts ever, and a prolific author. He's got a book out right now. No, it's coming out next month, excuse me. It's called Killing the SS. Some of the best suspenseful, well-written history books you'll ever read, Bill O'Reilly. Killing the SS. Pre-order it on Amazon.com. Anyway, the aforementioned Bill O'Reilly joins the Bernie and Sid Show right now. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Fantastic.
You know, we had such a good time doing your show, BillO'Reilly.com. Fantastic website, video, great. You write great stories on there last Thursday. And it's funny, Bill, because I showed up in my giant jersey because your producer, Nicole, let us know we're going to talk some football. So before we get into the stuff that made you famous, I don't know if people realize the Bill O'Reilly sports acumen. We talk about the Mets. We talk about local radio. And you gave me a stat, Bill, on Thursday about three quarterbacks, Phil Rivers in Los Angeles, Ryan Tannehill in Miami, and more importantly, Eli Manning here in New York with the Giants, which astounded me, which went on to show why Eli Manning has had some difficulties. Could you tell us that stat? That was a great stat.
Yeah, it used to be that the quarterbacks in the NFL could hold the ball routinely for about 44.5 seconds. before they threw it, so they could watch their receivers break open or not. That's gone. The quarterbacks can only hold the ball three and a half now, because the linemen and the linebackers are so big and fast that they get crushed. Eli has a hard time getting the ball out of his hands for a 10-yard-plus pass in three and a half seconds. So the whole game has changed in the sense where you see people throwing the ball up when a receiver runs down, and that's why Odell Beckham is so valuable. So the receivers jump up for it, and the instructions are either catch it or make sure the defensive back doesn't. But the quarterback doesn't know whether the receiver is going to be open or not. He just throws the ball up because he has to get it out of his hand. And so that's the new national football game. And the older quarterbacks have a hard time doing that. And that's why you see these dink passes 4 or 5 yards that usually don't work. And so Eli this year, he's got some good receivers, but it's going to be difficult for him to get that ball out of his hand, so he's going to have to throw to that back, Barkley, the new guy. And the other teams are going to know it, and it's a little easier to defense the Giants, and in their first game they did not score against the Cleveland Browns. So I think the Giants will be okay, but it's harder for an older quarterback than a younger guy who's been coming up and doing that routinely.
Awesome. Listen to this. Bill O'Reilly, great, man. All-knowing, omniscient.
Absolutely.
Any aspect you want to know.
I used to play quarterback in college, for Marist College. I mean, I know the game pretty well. And it's changed so much. And it's so dangerous for these players now. So dangerous, because these guys hit hard and they're so big.
Yeah.
It's not what it was even 5 years ago.
You ever think, you know, with Rush Limbaugh, he did Monday Night Football at one point, Bill O'Reilly. Keith Olbermann is back at ESPN. In fact, he did the Met Yankee game last night.
Believe that or not.
You ever consider Bill O'Reilly, besides doing your great political stuff, to Bill O'Reilly on ESPN?
No, they'd never hire me. ESPN's a left-wing network.
That's true.
Never hire me for politics. But I tell the truth, and then that would so I'd last, about an inning and a half if I were doing baseball.
It'd be a very entertaining inning and a half. So, speaking of politics, Bill, before we get to Omarosa and the fired Peter Strzok, FBI agent, every weekend in Chicago there appears to be some sort of massacre. I mean, if you add all the injuries and death up, and it gets minimal media attention, and nobody seems to be doing anything about it. You wrote a very powerful column about, and it connects your upcoming book, Killing the SS, to Rahm Emanuel and the carnage in Chicago. The column was entitled Enabling Evil. Can you tell us about that, Bill O'Reilly, please?
Yeah, the column's on BillO'Reilly.com. And look, people don't understand. A lot of people just don't understand evil. So in Germany, you had merchants, you had farmers, you had train conductors, and then all of a sudden, they're in black uniforms with a death's head skull on their cap. And instead of going to the front for Hitler, they walk into the concentration camps where they shoot babies and kill women and innocent men. All right? These aren't people that came out of the sea. These are just normal Germans who signed up for the SS and did the most evil things that the world has ever seen. Okay, so that's a fact. So flash forward to Chicago, where a car pulls up in front of a party, and there are a few dozen people outside having fun at a party. And four young black men get out of the car with guns and start to shoot into the party, killing civilians, teenagers, whatever, and then they get back in the car and they drive away. So what is the difference between the SS killers and these killers? None.
No.
It's just evil.
Evil is evil.
They go and they try to kill people. Not try, they do. They accomplish it. So why, then, are we going through this in Chicago when you have no arrests made 70 people shot over a weekend, no arrests, none. So you have a situation where there's evil on display, and nobody is doing anything about it. No one.
It's not
same thing happened in Germany.
Because
so I made the comparison.
And it was an excellent comparison. Again, enabling evil at BillO'Reilly.com. Powerful column. But if these types of killings were happening in the same neighborhoods that the mayor lived in, Rahm Emanuel, et cetera, there would be something done about it. But because it's limited to, say, the hood, to use the vernacular, nobody cares, apparently.
Well, that's a true racism. You know, I'm so fed up, and I'm sure many of your listeners are, with pundits calling people racist. That's, we hear it every day. Oh, Trump's a racist, or this one's a racist. You want racism? Okay. In the last 2.5 years in the black neighborhoods in Chicago, between 7,000 and 10,000 people have been shot.
Ay, ay, ay. Well, that may be a good
That's
place.
More than Afghanistan. There's a war in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
It's more. 7,000 and 10,000 people in 2.5 years have been shot down in Chicago, and nothing has been done about it.
Yeah.
Now, you rightly point out, if that were on the Gold Coast, on Rush Street in Chicago, you're going to let between 7,000 and 10,000 white people get shot down the street?
No.
I don't think so.
Nope. No.
I don't think that's going to happen. So what are the people, the poor people, the law-abiding people, the elderly people in these poor neighborhoods, what are they to think? What are they to think when they see their white mayor, Mr. Liberal, Rahm Emanuel, their Republican governor, you know, strut around every day and do absolutely nothing to protect them? That's racism.
Yeah. Now, maybe a good place for guys like Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed to start instead of on the sidelines. Anyway, we're tired of that story, too. Hey, Bill, talking about racism, Omarosa, quick to call her old buddy, the guy that had her on The Apprentice, who hired her for the White House. She actually called him that word, a racist. You know, I was reading your column this morning, again, brilliant, BillO'Reilly.com. And what I took from that story, besides all the nonsense and the name calling, was, how was she able to tape all of these people in the White House, including Kelly in the Situation Room? And at what point does that become a crime?
Well, it is pretty staggering that you have this woman in the White House in a Situation Room, which is used for the highest level of discussions in our country, being able to bring in a phone and tape John Kelly, the chief of staff of President Trump, on the premises. I mean, it's pretty frightening. So, Secret Service is in the White House. I don't know why she wasn't searched. I don't know. Now, the law. I have studied this law, and I don't think that they can gain a conviction if they decide to prosecute her, which I don't think they will. And I recommend they don't. I think it's a two-day story. I don't think anybody cares about the woman at all. I don't think anything she said makes a difference. If you hate Trump, you hate him. If you like him, you like him. Whatever she says doesn't matter. But I think that Congress has got to look at absolutely making this country a two-party consent and stop the madness of everybody taping everybody all the time. And that's what's happening. I mean, do we have no privacy now at all? So somebody calls you up in New York, where we are, and they can tape everything you say.
Yeah.
Or they can, you see somebody in a CVS, And all of a sudden, you're talking to them, and they can tape it. I mean, what is this? Do we have no privacy in our own homes now?
It's true.
None?
One-party consent is what all you need in New York,
right,
and apparently in Washington, D.C. as well. And it does make no sense. It really does. You ask,
if you live in an apartment, and the walls are thin, as many apartments are in New York City, your neighbor can tape what you say inside your apartment, if they can hear it.
Or what, what you do.
High amplified gizmos. And you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know, Bill,
let's go.
So, Bill, I was going to ask you in our waning moments about Peter Strzok, but I think it's more interesting. You wrote a column on the white nationalist protest, this coverage down in Washington, D.C., the media coverage of the overhyped white nationalists. They predicted thousands of white nationalists. There was about 20 people showed up. The majority of the people were Antifa types who the media called anti-hate groups. In fact, one camera crew there was attacked. And NBC never even aired that for whatever reason, yeah. For political reasons. So what are your thoughts on the coverage of what happened over the weekend?
Well, one of the past times I think I was on your program, I said I had never met a white nationalist or a neo-Nazi. All right? And I've been to every state, you know, been around. I've never met one. So I go, where are they? So now you have a run-up to Charlottesville and D.C. where you have 3-4 weeks of publicity that white nationalists are going to march. And 20 show up in Virginia and 20 show up in Washington.
Right. Right.
So
losers.
Where are these people? Where are they? And then hundreds of Antifa far-left people show up to counter the neo-Nazis. And they're the ones that attack the police, and they're the ones that attack the media. But the media won't cover that because that goes against their narrative of neo-Nazis, Trump supporters, country in danger from the right. That's the narrative. That's the story the mainstream media wants to tell. Well, it didn't develop. They don't want to tell the story about Antifa, the far left, Portland, Oregon, not defending ICE people who are under siege by Antifa. They don't want to tell that story. So they don't. They don't tell it.
No, not even
it's
that.
It's so corrupt.
Yeah, I was going to say, Bill, not even that their own NBC, their own camera crew was attacked. NBC did not report that or air that video whatsoever by the Antifa crowd. They didn't report it.
It's even worse. The first news show to come on NBC's air after their news crew was attacked by Antifa was Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd didn't even mention that his own crew was assaulted. Instead, wow. He called Donald Trump a racist. I mean, come on. You know, yeah. Really, it's like a cartoon now. Is it not?
It is.
It's like a cartoon.
It is. And when Jim Acosta gets taunted fairly innocuously at a Trump rally, it's like, oh, my God, look, what are they doing to the press? And, I mean, that's a big story. But when their own people get violently attacked by a crowd that they sympathize with, silence. Anyway, Bill, listen.
Well, you and I had a good discussion on BillO'Reilly.com about that.
Yeah.
I don't object to news agencies protecting their people, like Acosta. If I were a CNN president, I had somebody with him. I would. And I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
No.
And it's smart to take precautions. I had to have security, as you know, for more than 20 years.
Sure.
I was threatened every day of my life. And CNN didn't really care. In fact, they stirred a lot of that up. So did MSNBC. So there's a lot of hypocrisy in it, but I don't want to see anybody get hurt, and I want these people to be protected. There are nuts that follow Donald Trump. There's no doubt about it. So I think we have to be honest on that.
No doubt. Listen, Bill, your latest book, which is coming out in September, Killing the SS, is an unbelievably great read. I read the whole thing already.
Thank you, guys.
You can pre-order it on Amazon. It's just another in a string, a very prolific Bill O'Reilly, prolific author, I should say, on the Bernie and Sid Show. We thank you for appearing on the show, Bill.
Well, it's really a pleasure to be with you guys. Continued success, and I enjoy listening to you very much.
Thank you. And we love coming on your show, too. We were just there last Thursday. Check out all this great work. BillO'Reilly.com. More of Bernie and Sid right after this.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
I'm Juliette, and we're going to start with some sad news from the reality and WWE worlds. Jim Neidhart, better known as The Anvil, and the father of WWE superstar Natalya, has passed away. Fans of his daughter's show, Total Divas, became familiar with the star, who made frequent appearances with his daughter, who always seemed to worry about her dad's health. The Anvil had a 24-year-long career in the ring. He hit the height of fame as part of the WWF tag team duo Hart Foundation. That was back in the late 80s alongside his brother-in-law, Bret Hart. No word on the cause of death. The anvil was 63 years old.
I love when you refer to him as the anvil.
The anvil. Is it anvil or the anvil?
No, you're right. No, that's just funny. That was his nickname.
The anvil. I had no idea who he was until... I mean, I love Total Divas. It's a good show.
Yeah.
And an update now on the passing of iconic TV actress Charlotte Ray, the charming star of two legendary 80s sitcoms, Different Strokes, and its spinoff, Facts of Life. She reportedly died after going into cardiac arrest. TMZ reporting she was also battling salivary gland cancer. Ray passed away last week at her L.A. home. She was 92. And finally, some happy news. Robin Wright is off the market. Sorry, everyone. Star of House of Cards and the ex of Sean Penn married Clémence Girardet in France over the weekend. He is an executive at the fashion house Saint Laurent. The wedding was a bohemian-inspired, casual-looking affair. It actually looked kind of cool. It was apparently held in La Roche-sur-le-Buis, which is a comment.
Beautiful place. What's, what's your favorite Robin Wright pen, a Robin Wright role? Favorite one?
Well, I mean, I just, you know, I'm not a movie person, really, but I would say Forrest Gump. But I do like her in House of Cards.
She's great in House of Cards.
She's really cool in
House. She was also phenomenal in the movie where she met Sean Penn in a movie about the Westies called State of Grace. That was a great movie, but as Ginny in Forrest Gump.
Kenny. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I she inspired me to get my hair cut short.
Yeah, you guys
didn't
kind,
work
kind of
out
similar.
Too well for
you
me,
kind,
but she looks great.
Yeah.
I kind of looked like a boy, but anyway, tu nos félicitations. That means congratulations, I think. I just botched that anyway.
You hope so.
Yeah, I know. I might have said, you know, F off or something. I don't know. I'm Juliette. That's entertainment.
Great job by Bill O'Reilly. Our dear friend, the very, very funny Anthony Cumia, hosts an afternoon show every single day at Compound Media, along with Landau, and has a slew of shows.
Oh, yeah, it's a big deal.
Operates.
CompoundMedia.com.
Right. He'll join us in about 5 minutes, and then we'll get Gilbert Gottfried live in studio at 9. And we were outside kind of talking to Anthony after the break, after O'Reilly and Juliet doing her report, and I noticed a stack of books to my right, and one of the books I noticed... Republicans Buy Sneakers Too, How the Left is Ruining Sports with Politics. This is my buddy, Clay Travis. He's been out with us before.
I know.
This guy's out of his mind.
He's half off the hook, but he makes a lot of sense.
He does. He's been banned,
right,
folks, from CNN and ESPN. He's got his own website, Outkick the Coverage. And this guy just eviscerates anybody on the left.
He just doesn't care.
No.
This is the kind of guy, he could have had a traditional Steve Levy-like...
No, it could have been Colin Coward.
Sports, yeah, Colin Coward, one of those guys.
Yeah.
Easily, but he just, screw him. He's not playing the PC game.
No.
And he's just, Republicans Buy Sneakers Too. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I just tweeted him. I told him you got to come out with me and Bernie again.
Come on, bro.
He will. So that's kind of funny because there's a lot of folks, whether you get knee deep in the politics or not, forget about Donald Trump for a second. But there was a lot of folks that do feel like, especially ESPN, this goes back to the argument that I had with Juliet a couple of weeks ago on the whole ESPY deal, that we just can't take anything ESPN does at face because of their political bias. And even when they do nice things, there always seems to be some type of agenda. And whether you like Donald Trump or not, has nothing to do with that. It's become clearly obvious that companies like ESPN have sold out to their political bias.
Hey, listen, when I tune in to watch a mini Subway series on a Sunday night, or excuse me, a Monday night, and I'm watching it and I'm enjoying the hell out of it, and then I'm like, I recognize this voice. Isn't that Keith Olbermann?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm flabbergasted. I'm floored that Keith Olbermann is actually the play-by-play guy on an ESPN Subway series Monday night game. I could not believe it. Would be like putting Alex Jones on and shoving it in, you know, the left's face by putting Keith Olbermann on. This guy is a bomb thrower. He's a nut job.
No, I don't like him. Yeah. He's not as bad as Alex Jones. I mean, I don't think he's ever...
I think some people might debate you, but you get my point. Glenn Beck,
somebody like that.
But as far as Republicans Buy Sneakers Too, I believe that was originally attributed to Michael Jordan.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you know who loves Michael Jordan? Donald Trump. You know who doesn't love Donald Trump? Michael Jordan.
Well, no. He, in fact, Michael Jordan came under a lot of fire for not overtly criticizing President Trump for just saying I support LeBron.
Right, LeBron's his guy.
Right, but for not saying Trump should shut up and leave me out.
That's not Michael Jordan style. Listen. But if you're going to tweet I like Mike, idiot, you may want to find out before whether or not Michael Jordan actually likes you.
But it
was clear by that tweet, even though Michael Jordan didn't go over the top, that he's no fan of Trump and he loves LeBron James.
But not according to the critics. Not according to the Stephen A. Smiths and the Chris Carters of the world.
Oh, great. Now we're going to tell Stephen A. Smith is going to be the voice of...
So in fact, Chris Carter said, I think it was Chris Carter, he said, Michael Jordan likes to swim, but he doesn't like to get wet.
Right. They want him to be more vicious.
Exactly.
But his point came across. We'll take a short break. The hilarious Anthony Cumia live in studio with Bernie and Sid right after these words.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Hi, this is Jim Norton, and you're listening to the brand new and soon to be canceled Bernie and Sid show on WABC.
Right, yuck. Jimmy. Jim Norton is going to be there too that night, the WABCRadio.com. You should go to WABCRadio.com. Get tickets for Bernie and Sid's Night of Comedy, Wednesday, September the 26th at the Cutting Room. Jim Florentine, Jackie the Joke Man Martling, Jim Brewer, Rob Magnotti, and our next guest, who's here every Tuesday. Been a great show already with Bo Dietl and Bill O'Reilly and the hilarious Gilbert Gottfried live in studio in about 20 minutes. It's our guy, Anthony Cumia.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning,
Anthony.
So I thought about you last week.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Well, there's this radio duo. Nobody has better radio stories than Anthony, not even Stern. There's this radio duo out of New Jersey where Craig Carton used to work. New Jersey 101.5.
Uh-huh.
Dennis and Judy. You familiar with them?
I've heard the names.
Turban Man. They were suspended.
Right.
So they were allowed to come back, which
wow.
They should have been. Well, of course they should have been. That was ridiculous.
But that never happened. Should have been doesn't matter in radio.
Well, you're
no,
right.
No, that's true.
Yeah. You're right.
True.
But they were allowed to come back. But part of their repentance, I guess you would say, was they had to go to a Sikh temple because they referred to this New Jersey politician, a good buddy of the governor.
He got involved. The attorney general is of the state.
And he's a good buddy of the governor, Phil Murphy. That's why they got suspended in the first place. He's of Sikh descent. They had to go to a Sikh temple. That reminded me when you and Opie had sex for Sam.
That was, yes.
Which cost you millions of dollars and your job. Because you guys encouraged a couple to have
sex. But we got
sex.
Paid.
You got paid, yes.
I got paid off for 2 years.
No, I know, but you would
have. So it was great.
But you could have been there forever. Making,
that's true.
You could have made millions and millions on top of that.
Why do you got to put such a negative spin on
it? Because it wasn't a joyous time for these guys. They got fired.
They were got paid millions for 2.5 years.
That's fine, but he could have made millions and millions more for the next 20 years. Who knows? Point is, what was your repentance? There was none because you got fired. Right?
Yeah.
But did they come to you at some point maybe and say, hey, if you do this, maybe if you ran like a Sunday morning service at St. Patrick's Cathedral? Or
you know what? they had fired us, so there wasn't really a thing that we had to do to make amends for our sins.
Right.
But up in Boston.
Okay.
We did. We had that thing where we said the mayor was dead.
In a plane crash.
Years ago. Yeah.
And then his wife actually called the station and said, oh, my God, he's dead.
Yeah.
And you guys are like, no, we're only kidding.
It was Mayor Menino from Boston.
Remember him?
The late Mayor Menino.
The late, great Mayor Menino.
Who was really as dumb as...
just the proverbial box of rocks. He really was a moron.
That he got elected was just mind-boggling.
Time and time again, he held the office like a pope. The guy wouldn't leave. So when we said he was dead, they made us go to a... It was terrible. They wanted us to get pies thrown in our face in the middle of Boston by the mayor. And we're going, he's never going to go for that. Are you out of your mind? He's livid that we said he was dead. And we had the, you know, PDs and GMs for the most part. There's a reason they're not on the air.
Right.
And we're talking to them, and they really thought that this was going to be a big event, that we were going to go there and they were going to throw pies in our face. So the mayor tells them to go screw, that ain't happening.
Right.
I want these guys fired. So they decide to take us to some children's hospital to give the pies out. Like any scummy move. And me and Opie were just like, no, we're not going to exploit sick kids to try to get our dumb job back.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I would.
But, yeah.
and you did it anyway, didn't you?
No, we didn't do that. Yeah.
Right. So, but you got your job back, obviously.
Back down in New York, we wound up getting a job at NEW.
Oh, so you didn't get it back in Boston?
No, that was it. We were gone.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So, and which is related to your book, which is coming out, I believe, next month.
Permanently Suspended in November. It's available pre-sale on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Just wanted to get that plug in, Anthony.
Thank you, sir.
Any stories in there that even the most avid Opie and Anthony fan, like Eddie Erickson, for example, Bernard, the former Mike Francesa producer, now works for Russo at XM Sirius, he makes sure he's tuned into Anthony Cumia every week because he's a diehard O&A guy. Any stories in that book that are really outrageous that we may not know or not?
There are some stories about some of the behind-the-scenes problems that me and Opie had with relationship stuff. He didn't like my relationship I was in with this girl I was going out with after my marriage.
He didn't like it?
Didn't like her, didn't like the relationship. And it really, like, aren't you just supposed to be a guy? And go, who cares what he's...
Why is it his business? Exactly.
Why is it his business?
He was jealous.
Yeah, I think there was a jealousy thing. I don't. You'd have to confirm that one.
Is that in the book?
Well, he acted like a scorned girlfriend a lot of times.
Wow.
He's a latent
homosexual.
When
Opie, whatever his last name is.
Again, we would have to look into that a little deeper. But
that's in the next book.
No, it was one of those deals where it was constantly like, we don't talk enough,
and
why didn't you text me? And if we have a problem, we got to open. I'm like, look, if I was getting a little on the side from you, maybe I'd take this crap.
Cuddling is fine afterwards.
Right.
Oh, my God.
I put up with that garbage because I want to get a piece of ass.
Right.
I don't put up with it from a guy.
No, from a coworker.
From a coworker. It was out of control. It was like, and this was constant, just... You know, I always talk about a pissed mist in the room when you'd walk in and he was having his time.
That is brutal. Brutal. But you stuck it out for years and you made a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Did very well in the radio business.
Good for you.
Having fun. It's fantastic. I know they're exiling everybody off of the airwaves, though. That's why I'm surprised they got their job back in Jersey.
Right. Yeah.
And, well, whether it's social media or... radio, just seeing people get thrown off.
No due process. Boom. Joe Beningo's still not back.
He's going to get back.
He's going to get back.
Oh, yeah?
I think so.
Yeah. See what they did with Alex Jones.
Yeah.
He deserved it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact.
What's the matter? You don't like Alex?
No, I don't like Alex.
Let me tell you something. It's false flag operation. The Gulf of Tonkin.
That's good.
I got to tell you, people, it's the globalists that are coming after us. And you better bet your bottom dollar they're putting fluoride in the water to turn the frogs gay.
Yeah, the gay frogs.
Yeah. I can't get enough of the gay frogs.
I'm telling you, the guy is fucking. He's funny. Did I curse?
No, you said funny, not
right.
Yeah,
thank you, thank
right.
you. So don't dump it.
If that was a scene, not
hilarious.
An end.
Yeah, but don't
you draw the line at like 26 dead kids in a school in Connecticut?
You know what? There have been so many misreportings of what that guy actually said.
Well, that wasn't true.
No, he didn't go on.
You're defending Alex Jones?
Yeah, why not?
What's the matter with you?
I'm an absolutist with free speech, my friend.
Fair enough.
I think anybody should be able to say anything. I don't care. I disagree with so many people and go like, I'd like to see them smothered.
Right.
But, you know, as long as their moans could be heard.
It's a free country. So anybody can say anything.
And yet he's being banned from YouTube, Spotify, and a bunch of other outlets.
And you hear from people going, well, the freedom of speech is the government, not private companies. It's like, yeah, but when you have just a handful of private companies that have the ability to literally remove you from the platforms that everyone is speaking on, then they are infringing on your rights, I believe, anyway.
Hey, convince me. Listen,
to me, the guy was just, he just made me laugh.
He's hilariously funny. Like, he was on my show the other day, and he said something.
Sit down and
shut up, Cumia. That's what they're going to be telling you. And he's yelling, and I'm just laughing. It's hilarious. People take him way too seriously.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And I think that's a big part of it. And when you get these companies that are so left-wing, they just want to get rid of everybody that even has this inkling of of the right. You know, that's the right is a bad word now. Nazis, yeah. You're a Nazi.
Right, exactly.
It's just
if they don't want to debate. They just want to shut you up.
They want to shut you up, especially and, before these midterms.
You were a big Omarosa fan, from what I
I had posters on my walls of her. Oh my god!
Next to the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders and Cheryl Teagues,
backstabber. You know what? What's hilarious? I hear so many people saying, Omarosa was taping Trump and taping people at the White House, and Trump is now afraid. He's so paranoid. Paranoid? He was being recorded.
Yeah, right.
That's not paranoid when it happens.
Michael Cohen, Omarosa, the government.
How the hell these people, the balls on these people to go in there with a recording device in the White House.
Yeah, I know.
You know, the disloyalty that you're seeing from people around this president is amazing.
He tweeted this morning, "Crazed, crying lowlife," and also called, he says, "Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog."
He's going to catch hell for that.
Why
won't people realize he just says these things about everybody? It's not racial. It's not sexual. Right. It's not. He just calls people idiots, morons, dogs.
He did it, Mika. He did Mika Brzezinski. She's lies. He did all kinds of guys.
He called Opie and myself slobs once.
Did he really?
Great. I feel honored. He's like, those guys are a couple of slobs.
Maybe if you had a couple having sex in Trump Tower instead of St. Peter's Cathedral, he would have liked you.
Apparently, he was taking care of that part of it. Plenty of that going on.
Anthony Cumia. It's compoundmedia.com.
That's funny.
Every day, Monday through Thursday, 4 o'clock,
Tony
Anthony
C.
and Dave Landau.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Permanently suspended. Pre-order it on Amazon. Is a funny guy. Anthony Cumia, we love
you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. On the Bernie and Sid Show. We're coming right back.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
You know, show's been a ton of fun today. Bernie was out yesterday, back today. Bill O'Reilly was terrific. Bo Deedle, always great. Anthony Cumia, very, very funny. But as...
ain't over yet.
Ain't over yet. As Vanessa Williams, famous for performing Conolingus in a magazine, once said, and Gilbert's laughing because he still has that magazine.
Because it still sparks a little fire in that belly of yours.
She once sang Saving the Best for Last, and that's what we've done here with the great Gilbert Gottfried. One show, just one show coming up Thursday night at Caroline's. What time is that show, Gilbert?
What time is it?
7:30. 7:30.
Okay.
See, I really don't know.
You don't know anything?
After all these years, I should know.
You've been in here about six or seven times to visit me and Sid.
Right.
Sydney and myself.
Right.
Excuse me, it'd be grammatically correct.
Mm-hmm.
Hamburger!
Now, what was I doing? How did that one get started?
Well, first of all, I say hello to you, and you look at me like,
that's
who the hell
way
is this
I look
guy?
At everybody.
He has no idea who you are.
No,
he's been here 10 times.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I did an episode of, what was it, Crashing.
Yeah.
And while I was there, some guy came up to me, and he said, "Oh, you know, you're great on the show. Thanks for doing it." And I went, "Oh, yeah, hi."
Yeah.
And the guy points to himself, and he goes, "Judd Apatow?"
And, it was really Judd?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. So
now Artie's
talking
on that show, too. Artie Lang.
Yeah.
But you know Artie. Because nobody looks like that.
Yeah. He's He doesn't look. He can't be mistaken for any other human being.
No.
Yeah. He's Artie Lang should have it like Artie Lang still alive. Yeah.
That would be the headline.
God.
Because,
yeah.
It's day to day. I think.
See, here's the difference. A couple years ago, Bernie, when I started at this station, we put on a big Sid night, big Sid sports night. You may remember this, Bernie.
Yeah, of course.
It was a NYY steak in Midtown Manhattan.
It was a big deal.
Big deal. Leslie Slender did a great job setting it up.
Kimberly Guilfoyle was there.
She showed up. Kimberly Guilfoyle, Chaz Palminteri,
yep.
Bo Deedle, Curtis Sliwa, former Dolphin and Jet quarterback Jay Fiedler, and Gilbert and his lovely wife, Dara, who I love to death. And I bought him dinner and soda. So now that's it. I'm in. Not to further the stereotype of Jews, but I bought him dinner and a ginger ale, and I'm in.
Yes.
And you're good to go.
Right?
All you had to do was buy him a hamburger.
Now, where? I remember. Now, I remember that, but I forget. How did it start?
All I know is that there was a black guy years ago. I swear to God, a comedian. He would tell a joke. He'd tell a joke, and then, you know, tell a joke, and then he'd go right after the joke.
Oh, yeah!
He would go, hamburger! And the crowd just went nuts. And I guess you got it from him. I don't know.
Because there used to be a comedian, a black comedian, when I was growing up, named, I think, Freddie Rogers. And his big thing, he'd say the punchline and go, oh, yeah!
That's funny.
That is funny. He's the same guy that said hamburger?
No.
That's who I recall. Oh, that's okay. A black guy that did that. Right, and I can only surmise, Gilbert,
that you stole it from him.
Yes. Hamburger!
That's funny, though.
It is funny. So what are you doing these days? You come on with us all the time. We love you.
Yes.
You do Caroline's. Yeah. Are you still in a feud with Stern? Has that been fixed? What is that?
I was never aware of a feud. Oh, I just haven't done it for...
Because he hates you.
3,000 years.
He hates you now. What happened? What did you do?
When you don't get invited.
Right.
I mean,
what happened?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah. No,
you say
nothing.
Something bad about Robin or something? What did you do?
Yeah. It's funny in this business. Well, life in general, but in this business especially.
Did you abuse a cat or something?
Yeah, but why would it be different than every other thing?
But you're right, in this business, they just write you off.
I heard a story that, remember Charlie Callis?
Of course.
Yeah. So Charlie Callis was a regular on The Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. They'd always, every other Tonight Show had him on. And then one day, someone said to Johnny Carson, hey, how about for Thursday, Charlie Callis? And Carson just said, no, we've had enough of him.
Enough of that. And so you think that's what happened with Stern? Yeah. But you were his best guest?
Yeah.
Every time?
Yeah.
There must be something deeper. Something bad happened that you're not admitting to.
You're not.
We're
going
to get Robert Mueller on this case, Gilbert, and find out.
Or we could just beat the crap out of you and make you talk.
The last laugh is going to be on him. Because he'll only make $900 billion this year without me. It's
true. Now, what about movies? Are you doing any porn or something? What are you doing?
I wish.
Yeah.
I wind up every now and then I'll get a part, a day's work in a movie that I'll go, nobody will ever see this. It's like there have been movies I've done where I don't even remember. I don't know the title of it. While I'm doing it, because I go, as long as the check clears on this, nobody will ever see it.
Well, you've worked with very famous people. You did, remember that, I can't remember one movie you did. I got to be honest.
Gone with the Wind, what was it called?
And somehow, I don't think that would happen if Al Pacino was in here.
You did Aristocrats, and you did Aladdin, and...
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 2. Child.
Of course.
Yeah, you were great in that. Didn't you have sex with Brigitte Nielsen at that movie?
Oh, yes. She turned into a...
She just had a baby, 54 years old.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Boy, I remember years ago she was on that reality show.
Flava Flav.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and she was hosing Flava Flav.
She was scary looking.
Yeah. He used to bang her in the bathtub with his big clock on.
Oh.
Hey, Gilbert Gottfried's going to be at Caroline's this Thursday at 7:30, folks. He rarely does things like this. These days, he's like exclusive. But what did you do the Borscht Belt thing up in the Catskills, the Monticello, the Concord? Was that?
No, I never got into.
You never did that?
I think I did the Neverly once.
Oh. Oh, great place in Ellenville. Yes.
And the managers loved me. The band loved me. The audience had no idea.
Really?
What the hell I was talking
You want
about.
A little trivia piece about the Neverly?
Yeah.
If you spell the Neverly backwards.
Oh, it's 11.
And why is that?
Well, I hear different stories. One, there were 11 nuns.
What?
Walking. I hear.
11 brothers own the hotel. What 11 nuns?
11 brothers?
Yes.
Black guys?
Man, we got Gilbert Gottfried this weekend.
They were the ones holding up the Neverly.
I didn't hear that.
No, me either.
I didn't hear that.
Affleck just called.
They say we're hiring you again just to fire you. Yes.
Would you go back for one day? If Affleck called, then would you go back for one day? Or are you so angry at how they humiliated you?
If the Taliban called and wanted me to do a commercial for them.
What time? I'm there. Hey, listen, you mentioned your reaction to Judd Apatow when he tried to compliment you. What it reminds me, and I want to ask you if you worked with Rodney Dangerfield, but Adam Sandler once went up to Rodney. Rodney didn't know who he was. Adam Sandler was like, I'm a big fan. I love you. I love you. And Rodney Dangerfield said, what do you want me to do, a cartwheel? So did you work with Rodney Dangerfield or perform at his comedy club back in the day?
I never worked at his comedy club.
No, he didn't invite you.
No, but I was in two pretty bad Rodney Dangerfield movies.
Real Ladybug.
Yeah, no, not Ladybug was already
that was good.
A good one.
All right. Let me think. It couldn't have been Back to School. It couldn't have been Caddyshack.
No, that was when he was at his height.
What were you in?
Okay. The one that was released to theaters.
The Godfather 8.
Yeah.
He played the lawyer or the accountant.
The one that was released to theaters was Meet Wally Sparks.
Well, that wasn't terrible. He played it was like a cop or something. Or...
No. He was supposed to be like some shock jock the air.
It was terrible.
Yeah, that was bad. Yeah, that was really bad.
Yeah.
And then I was in a movie that no one's ever heard. I've never even seen it.
What is it?
It never made it to theaters. And that was Back by Midnight.
Back by Midnight.
Where he's a convict and he
gets those are two terrible movies.
Yeah,
no, you've
got your yeah, yeah, I, yeah.
Have you ever seen Chevy Chase naked? Is that a yes?
No. I would like to. Okay.
I tell you, this jumpsuit's a little tight, you know? Hey.
Oh,
so listen, Gilbert Gottfried, Caroline's this Thursday at 7:30 p.m. So you hate Rodney Dangerfield? Did you? I mean, was he getting high on the set and say because he late in life he was still partying,
a lot of coke.
Yeah, I never saw him do it. I mean, I heard about it,
right?
But certainly, but I never saw.
Did you see Donald Trump do it on The Apprentice? Come on, that's not a lie. Were you there for when he said the N-word on The Apprentice? Were you there for that? Omarosa says you were standing right there.
Did he make any anti-Semitic jokes?
Right.
Constantly.
Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried.
But so did Jimmy Carter. So did every American president.
Yes, Nixon is on tape.
Yep.
That's right.
That's true.
Hey, Gilbert Gottfried, Caroline's this Thursday, 7:30 p.m.
God,
we love you. You're funny, man.
You're so good.
I heard Lincoln didn't have a problem with it. I actually read that somewhere, that Lincoln didn't have any problem.
He was the one. He was old Abe, and it's because his name was Abraham.
Right. There you go. He's almost Jewish himself. We love you. You're brilliant. We'll see you Thursday night at Caroline's. Please keep coming back. You're our favorite. We love you. Thank
Hamburger.
You.
Yes.
And the Bernie and Sid show. We're coming right back.
It's going to be there. Hamburger.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Entertainment news now.
Juliet, if you've ever worn a shoe fashioned with clear plastic, they're really hot right now. You can totally relate to this next story. A podiatrist to the stars is warning folks about Kanye West's Yeezy label, specifically his shoes made with clear plastic. Dr. Suzanne Levin told Page Six that the transparent shoe trend may be hot, but it's not cool. She says covering your feet in PVC can lead to excessive sweating, odors, and can even exacerbate fungal or bacterial conditions. Why? Because they're not breathable, and without aeration, things can become, I'm sorry to say this next word, I know a lot of you cringe when you hear it, things can become moist. A recipe for podiatric disaster. I don't even know if that's a word. Podiatric? Anyway, drama for Rihanna. LAPD officers, choppers, swarming the singer's Hollywood home last night. Thankfully, it was just a faulty alarm, but better be safe than sorry because, you know, remember, she's had to deal with a stalker recently. The guy actually broke into her home back in May when she wasn't there, thank God, and spent the night. He was caught. He later told cops that he planned on having sex with her once she returned home. And speaking of stalkery behavior, Danielle Staub of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, she filed for a restraining order against her estranged husband, Marty Caffrey, Sunday night. She claims he showed up home at her home drunk and started making trouble. She's accusing the 66-year-old of trying to ruin her reputation. As part of the order, he has to stay away from her, her daughters, NBC Studios, randomly, 30 Rockefeller Plaza, and Monmouth University. I'm Juliette Huddy. That's entertainment.
Well, the guest parade is over for today. Pretty good. Bo Dietl, Bill O'Reilly, Gilbert Gottfried, and Anthony Cumia. And we've discussed everything from Omarosa. You know, we did not really spend a lot of time today, Bernie, with about 30 minutes to go, on Peter Strzok. And I did put something on my Twitter page yesterday, on my Facebook page, which just oozed of sarcasm, talking about Peter as a man of integrity, the FBI, of course, being maligned by the evil administration, and how could such a hard-working man who devoted his life get fired? All, of course, based in sarcasm. But he's a real scumbag, this Peter Strzok. That was a good day for America yesterday.
And the fact that he says, and apparently people believe, that his bias didn't affect his decisions. I mean,
Who believe that?
How stupid. The FBI, nobody's charged him with anything.
Yeah, because that one guy, what's his name? Who's crooked like McCabe and Kobe. Comey, what's that guy's name? He made the ultimate decision.
Oh, come on. The one guy. Who are you talking about?
In the FBI, who decided that he did not have any bias towards Donald Trump. One guy. And his name is...
Oh, you mean the Inspector General? The Inspector General.
Rosenstein?
Rod Rosenstein?
No, it wasn't him.
No?
No, it was the Inspector General, whatever the hell his name
is. Right, you're exactly right. It was the IG. What's his name?
Right.
That was the guy that said, oh, his name is Horowitz.
Horowitz, that's right.
That's the guy that deemed him not being...
He said there's no way to prove that any of his bias affected his decisions. No, you can't.
How silly is that?
Well, it is stupid, but what you have is a bunch of circumstantial evidence.
Oh, it's
that's what it's called.
Come on. It would be like catching O.J. two blocks away, holding the bloody knife, but
that's,
you weren't there to see him put it
that's
in Nicole's body.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
And that, look, he wrote to his lover. He wrote that Trump's a D-bag. He could smell the Trump support in Virginia, you know, in a certain area.
At a Walmart,
he talked about the Trump investigation being an insurance policy in case Trump wins. He also said to his lover that we're not going to let him be elected. We're not going to let it happen.
We're
going to
stop it.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
And he was the lead investigator on the Hillary investigation, this guy. He was the one who successfully exonerated her.
Yep.
So he meddled more in the 2016 election than any Russian did.
That's right.
First of all, he screwed Bernie Sanders because she shouldn't have got the nomination. She should have been indicted. She's out. Bernie Sanders gets the nomination. He could have won the election.
Who knows?
Potentially, right?
Who knows? It wouldn't have been Trump.
He changed the language, excuse me, one more, from gross negligence to extreme carelessness to get her off the legal hook.
But did he do that or did Comey do that?
He did that and Comey just went along with
it. Okay. Well, that does then, based on your points just now, all great. Donald Trump did tweet this. Now that he's been fired and he's out, is the onus on the FBI now to go back and once again reopen the Hillary investigation? If the FBI fired their guy because they really believe, despite what Horowitz said, that he in fact did make decisions based on bias, isn't the onus on the FBI to go back again and reopen the Hillary email scandal and put it to bed, yes or no, once and for all?
It should be, but it's mostly on the Department of Justice to do that, to appoint a special prosecutor, yes, a special counsel, I know we're sick of it, but to investigate the investigators.
And Sessions can't because he recused himself from all things Russia. And this thing involves Russian collusion because it involves the dossier that the Hillary Clinton people paid for. I can't believe we're talking about this, but here we are.
No, it's a story.
That was collusion.
Right.
And so Sessions is out. Rosenstein won't do it. He's actually a witness. He was a signatory to one of the FISA applications for a warrant to spy on people in the Trump campaign. So he is part of the problem.
Of course he is.
And
right.
so he's not going to appoint a special counsel at all. So Trump can't politically, the ramifications will be so dire, he can't fire either Sessions or Rosenstein.
No.
So we're stuck here.
That's why my boy Lindsey came out this weekend and said time to hire an investigator to investigate the investigator.
That's right.
Lindsey Graham, my guy.
Listen, it's clear to me, this is my opinion, that there was a conspiracy to exonerate Hillary and set up Trump, in other words, to affect the election. And this guy was the lead investigator on both the Hillary investigation and on the Trump investigation. And then he worked for the special counsel continuing in that investigation until Mueller got wind of these texts. Until the text became public, let's put it that way.
Right.
Maybe Mueller got wind of the text earlier and just said, well, let him stay. Nobody's going to find out about it because Mueller still hired a whole bunch of Democrats. Everybody he hired was a Democrat. There was a guy at Hillary's celebration party that turned into her crying. He was there at that, and he's on the Mueller team. How can you hire a guy who was at Hillary's victory party that was supposed to be a victory party? How can you hire that guy as an objective investigator?
You can't. And all this brings me to Bernie's Twitter account. If you don't know this, folks, my main man, my partner, my love, Bernie McGurk, is back on Twitter. And I've got a couple of questions about that for Bernie when we come back and wrap things up on a great Tuesday on the Bernie and Sid Show.
Get out of my vagina! Get out!
Bernie and Sid in the morning.
Hey, this is Rob O'Neill, former Navy SEAL. They sent my team and me a long way to kill Osama bin Laden. If you don't listen to Bernie and Sid, just saying. The club
is the best place to find out. Love that guy. It's almost time for him to come back into the studio. Bernie and Sid back with you. Going to wrap things up here. We had a nice little conversation about Odell Beckham Jr. and the Giants during the break. The Giants will play their second preseason game against the Lions coming up on Friday night. The Jets are back at it Thursday night against the Redskins, and all signs pointing to the rookie, Sam Darnold, after a very impressive performance, just like Bridgewater, against the Falcons, getting the start against the Redskins on Thursday. The Jets and Redskins have been practicing together since this weekend. In fact, they had a major brawl.
Couple
at
of
practice,
them.
Yeah, last
Couple.
Sunday.
That was great.
Yeah, they're beating the hell out of each other, which Bowles was very upset about. But anyway, preseason week number two, which of course sets you up for week three, which of course is the dress rehearsal for the regular season. And every season, that week three preseason game features the Jets taking on the Giants. This year, it's the Jets that have the home game. But Bernie's back on Twitter. What is your Twitter address, Bernie?
It is at Bernard McGurk 3.
At Bernard McGurk 3.
That's right.
Go follow Bernie today. I'm sure when it's all said and done, you'll have millions of followers. I'm being serious.
Well, I should have started, 10 years ago.
When you were on Bill O'Reilly every Tuesday night.
Well, when I was on Imus, Fox Business, and O'Reilly, when I was on everything.
Imus, you may have gotten 10 listeners, but Bill O'Reilly, a million.
Well, you build up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm kidding. I love the I-Man. You know, I spoke to him a couple of months ago.
Did you respond to his, without saying what the subject matter was, did you respond to that last email? Do you know what he was talking about?
No. I did.
Really?
He was talking about the ratings, so. Okay. He was looking out for us. The young man still loves us. So he sent me one answer, and then that was the end of that conversation.
Okay, good.
But more importantly, you're on Twitter, at Bernard McGurk 3.
That's
so,
right.
So, like yesterday, for example, people need to know this, because we need to set expectations. I'm on Twitter all day, and I will tweet about a variety of topics. It could be about the Giants. It could be about the Mets. It could be about Donald Trump. It could be about Omarosa, Peter Strzok. It could be about what me and Danielle had for dinner. Doesn't matter. I am on there a lot, and I tweet about a ton of stuff. And by the way, everything I tweet at Sid Rosenberg ends up on my Instagram, which is Sid.Rosenberg, and or Facebook. I actually hit all three buttons. So whatever I tweet ends up on Facebook and Instagram.
Which the Red Rooster picture, I like that picture of you with the fried chicken.
And the girl?
And the girl who was like, who is this girl?
Danielle.
She photobombed you and the fried chicken.
Danielle didn't want to get in the picture, so the girl sitting next to her was like, I'll get in. And she jumped in.
Okay.
It was fun. By the way, that place is great.
Yeah.
You want some real home Harlem cooking? Red Rooster?
It's actually Southern cooking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course.
Yep. Southern black cooking, we can say. Come
of
on.
Course. And, you know, with all the sides that you like, it's on 125th and Lenox. It's a great place. We're going to go back very, very soon. But I want to set expectations here. So you, Bernie, you're back on Twitter. You're happy about it. You've tweeted a couple of things.
Yes.
But it's not going to be as incessant, let's say, as I am. Or will it be? What can people expect?
It'll be the exact opposite of what you are.
We have to teach Bernie how to tag people.
I'm doing this at the behest of management.
Right.
That's what I'm doing, to be quite honest.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm not a guy who, whatever, I'm just not.
You're a private guy for the most part.
I'm a private guy. I'm not very gregarious.
No.
I'm just want to be left alone.
You know what you want, to be honest with you? You're not going to like this.
No, please don't.
And nobody loves you more, and you're a great radio host, but you're boring. You're boring.
Well, no, you
don't do anything. You don't go anywhere. You don't
know that.
Yeah, I do know
that.
No,
you don't.
Yes, I do.
How do you know?
Because I know. I know what you do every day.
You have no idea.
You come here in the middle of the night.
You
get ready for the show.
I do my
job.
You
sleep for a couple of hours.
But you don't know what I do in my leisure time.
Nothing. You don't do anything.
Very boring.
Boring. And by the way, that's fine. Because that keeps you out of trouble. Because God knows you were one cocaine line away from rehab in prison. I wasn't as lucky. I got, you know, you escaped it all. So you've decided now in your leisurely older years to play the game a little differently. So you don't do anything. You ride a bike once in a while. You walk on a boardwalk every now and then. Some guys, yeah, hey,
that's not true, man.
100% true.
I was out this weekend.
Yeah, where were you? Dominican Day Parade?
Among other places.
Visiting your kids up in the Bronx.
Get the hell out of here.
I made that.
Yeah.
I did. I always make the Dominican Day Parade.
You don't go anywhere.
Listen, I went to see, I saw Mission Impossible 6 with Tom Cruise. It was fantastic.
Okay, then why didn't you tweet about it?
I saw the Equalizer 2 with Denzel. It was one of the greatest. I did.
You didn't do anything.
I saw the Equalizer 2. The weather wasn't that great this week.
How many Mookies did it get?
How many Mookies?
Yeah.
It got out of 5?
Yeah.
4.5.
You gave the Equalizer 4.5 Mookies?
Easily.
So why wasn't that on Twitter?
Because that's not my thing.
Right, because you didn't go.
No, because I went.
If you don't put it on Twitter, it didn't happen.
Okay, got on Twitter. I didn't put anything on Twitter until last night, early morning, about what's coming up on the show.
Right. So the expectations may be...
Listen, here's the thing.
Right.
I don't think people care what I...
Don't say that.
That is my mentality.
You're wrong.
That's my mentality.
But your mentality is wrong. And it'll be proven to you by management. One of the reasons why... I'm being serious. I had success in South Florida. I worked at a horribly, it was a small station. I had very few listeners. I made money. The actual show made money, like we do, by the way. Bob Gelb can tweet all the ratings he wants. He can tweet ratings coming out of his ass about Boomer Esiason. We make money here.
That's
so
right.
We're fine. Don't worry about the 0.9, folks. We're doing great. You can write all you want on the message boards and all that nonsense. We're doing great. But one of the reasons why I was a guy that got back to New York and maintained relevance while I was at the smallest sports station in Pompano Beach in Florida was my listeners became rabid. And it wasn't because of my Met opinions or Governor Chris. It was because they knew Danielle. They knew Ava.
Listen,
they knew Gabe.
I don't doubt that people care what you do. And I know you have a lot of followers, and they are. You have your citizens out there.
Right.
SIDIZENS.
Yeah. Very good.
I know that. I'm saying that I don't think people care what I do.
No, disagree.
I firmly believe that.
But you're wrong, because they ask me all the time. They go, we know what you're doing. What is Bernie doing? I'm forced to say he does nothing.
Okay,
he's reading a book.
I do, and I am reading a book. I'm reading War's End by General Sweeney. He dropped the bomb on Nagasaki.
Okay.
I'm rereading it out of, out of friendship to him, out of a tribute to him.
Well, today especially.
Today's VJ Day.
Right.
VJJ.
Right. You know what I mean?
Right. So when you...
Anyway, listen. Yeah. So I just got on Twitter.
All right.
Now I'll start tweeting pictures of Long Beach, the boardwalk,
right,
the bars I go to, the drinks I drink.
But will you be in the pictures?
The blunts I smoke.
Will you be in the pictures? You didn't take a picture of an outdoor of a bar? That's no good.
I will start to do that if you think it's important.
I think it's very important. Okay. I will, I'll start doing it. I'll start posting shirtless selfies.
Got it.
And, you know, right, take it from there. That's where I'll start.
We got a break. We have one more segment to go.
Next thing you know, I'm going to end up.
What?
I'll be tweeting out pictures of my illegitimate kids in the Bronx.
Do a Brett Favre. Tweet. I don't care.
Okay.
What will be the one? What is the one thing today? Struck, Omarosa. The Met thing is old already. But what is the one thing today that you feel strong? It matters to you most that you feel like is deserving of a McGurk tweet.
Oh, the one thing, today is Tuesday, August 14th, VJ Day, VJJ Day.
Perfect.
I'll tweet a picture of my friend who dropped a bomb on Nagasaki.
Right.
I'll tweet a picture of his inscription to me in the book, to my pal Bernard. That's
perfect.
Right. I was friends with the man who flew the plane that dropped the bomb on Nagasaki that ended World War II.
Perfect.
There's no bigger name drop than that.
Nothing bigger than that. They're going to love you in Tokyo. You do that.
Between that and President Trump. I got it covered.
Well, why don't you tweet President Trump today and see if he tweets you back?
There you go.
Yeah, just tell him you're on Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is exciting. Ooh. At Bernard McGurk 3. We'll wrap things up right after these words.
Crazy Bernie. He is one crazy dude.
Bernie and Sid in the morning. 77 WABC. And streaming at WABCradio.com.
Rod Stewart, classic. This goes out to Maggie Gray, our friend at WFAN, for bashing James Dolan across the face for his bullshizzle Me Too song that he's trying to peddle around town. And a good job by Maggie calling him out on that. I can't help the rest of the show she's on, but she did a very good job there. What was I looking for here? Something important. You took the picture, Bern. You're ready to tweet that badass out?
I am. I'm just writing a caption as we speak.
Oh, you're writing a caption?
I tweeted a picture of the inscription that he wrote to me.
Yes.
Right? That's what you call it. An inscription plus the flap of the book.
Very
which
exciting.
Is entitled War's End, which Mr. Imus helped put on, or actually single-handedly put on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yes, a big deal.
His was the first interview with Mr. Imus that General Charles Sweeney did.
Ah, gotcha.
And I had to beg Mr. Imus to put Sweeney on.
So you had the better instincts.
Well, again, I'm just saying. No, that's what sure. Sweeney appreciated.
Uh-huh. Hey, also a shout-out to Lynn Seth, who reminded me to give props to one of our biggest local weekend sports events. Congratulations to the Staten Island Mid-Island Little League win. The boys in Staten Island getting it done. Congrats to the Little League team in Staten Island for getting a big win.
Oh, listen, they play again Thursday. We should actually have one of the players or a coach or somebody
on. We should, yeah.
It's a big deal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was a great game. He pitched. Did you just say he pitched a no-hitter?
Oh, I didn't talk about the specifics, but the kid pitched a great game.
It was one hit to the outfield, and the outfielder, the right fielder, caught it and threw the ball to first base and threw the guy out.
Right. It was It wasn't a fly ball. It was a base hit.
It was a
and
base
threw
hit.
Threw the guy
right,
out. Right. 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 No, the kid was great. And listen, we cover Staten Island, right? Whether it's Michael Grimm or...
Yes, we do.
Joseph DeVito.
Thank you. Or the Wilpons. Was that Curtis?
That was Matt Meaney.
Oh, Matt Meaney.
What? We got Joe DeVito in here smashing
DeVito. Oh, that's right. DeVito. That's right. From Staten Island. That's right. All right. So what does it say now? What does it look like there, B?
All right. It says, today, VJ Day, my friend, the late General Charles Sweeney, who flew the plane that dropped the bomb on Nagasaki and gets overshadowed by Tibbetts. And Hiroshima. I'm trying to abbreviate, truncate my message because you only have a certain amount of characters, right?
And you want to get to at Bernie and Sid, at 77 WABC. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, I'll do that.
You want to get those in there. And then you can hashtag something if you want, like screw the Japs. I don't know, whatever you want to write.
Oh, I don't think you should do.
I wouldn't write that if I were you. But
No, I won't.
Okay, good idea.
But I could if I wanted to, is what you're saying.
You could write whatever you want.
No, yeah.
So that's what I'll do.
Most people don't get fired for their Twitter account. I mean, most people. Some people do, but...
Except Roseanne.
Well, I guarantee you I won't. But
no.
But thank you for the assistance.
You're welcome.
And the advice. And I'm going to be a Twitter freak before it's all over. I can tell you that right
now. You're going to be a junkie. A Twitter junkie.
You think Geraldo was bad with the things he tweeted? You said it before. Brett Favre and beyond.
Worse than that? That's getting pretty bad, bro.
You ain't seen nothing yet, bro.
Oh, I can't wait. At Bernard McGurk 3. Special thanks to our guests today, Bo Dietl, Bill O'Reilly, Anthony Cumia, and Gilbert Gottfried. For everybody here on the Bernie and Sid Show, Juliet, Matt Meany, Jilly, Sid, and Bernie. Until tomorrow at 6, everybody. Peace!